If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
So we were in the pre-production meeting. Craig Collins is like, what do you want to start the show with? I'm like, I want cheap thrills. And I did not realize that that was going to get Don Norton rocking out in the newsroom.
Man, yeah. How can you not?
I mean, we're winning already here.
You not do this with that song.
Put those hands up, Don.
Raise the roof.
Wait, can we bring that back in, Craig? Is it done? It's all over?
All right.
Yeah. There you go. I got Don Norton rocking out, I mean, now I feel like we can't. Yeah.
Looking around the newsroom. Baddish, come on. There we go.
Is Baddish in on it?
He's getting there.
Oh, we can't see Baddish.
No, he's around.
We'll see Roger soon enough. And I'm excited to see Roger and talk to him. Don, you're with us till midnight. Is that the deal?
I am here. Midnight news.
Okay. Well, you're a great man up there, Don Norton, just so you know. I nobody comes in with the tie on and the hand, the raise the roof. It's outstanding. My name is Mark Carman. You are Rachel Woodall making your WGN debut. Thank you very much. I can speak. Congratulations, Rachel.
Thank you. It has been 3 years here almost, so I'm glad to finally be in the co-host seat.
Yeah, this is a big deal right now.
Mm-hmm. It is a big deal.
So tell us your life story. We're here till 2, and then,
So I was born in Indiana. Mm-hmm. It was January, so it was cold.
Mm-hmm. Cold January in Indiana. Yeah. We're off to a roaring start here.
And now I'm here.
That's a great story.
Great story.
That is an outstanding story. But so, you know, you work with Amy Guth on Saturdays, mm-hmm. and you've been around the WGN block.
Yeah, I worked with Steve Cochran for a while, mm-hmm. Hannah Stanley, Steve Dale, Rick Pearson. I have a podcast on Plus.
Mm-hmm. What is your podcast?
Artistic License.
And what is the theory? What is the theme? What, if for those who have not listened to Artistic License and are not living their life correctly, what will they get when they listen to an Artistic License?
We like to feature art that's a little bit outside of the box. So not just fine arts like, you know, painting, music. We do have stuff like that, but we also have jujitsu and people who make fancy coffee. And guys from that show, Naked and Afraid, we had them on to talk about the art of survival. So we're trying to expand the definition of art.
Naked and Afraid.
Have you seen that show?
I have not, and I do want to learn more. Can you? I mean,
so,
you're going to areas that I'm now interested in. Naked and Afraid.
Go ahead. Naked and Afraid is where they take a man and a woman, and they're both survival experts of different skills.
Okay.
And then they leave them in the wilderness for 30 days naked, and they each get like 2 tools, and they have to survive.
A man and a woman in the woods for 30 days, nude with tools?
Yes. See, when you simplify it like that, it sounds
Don, what do you think? You signing up for that, Don?
I have actually seen that show, and the funny thing about it is I like to watch the beginning and the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you see the people at the beginning, they're all, yeah, you know, let's get out here and we can survive. And then, you know, about 20 days later, they're dragging pretty badly, you know.
Yes.
It's tough. That's got to be tough.
Yeah, I mean, I've always wanted to be on Survivor. If any producers out there for the show are listening right now, you can contact me, M. Carman at WGN Radio. I think I could bring a great, great energy to the show, and I would share vulnerably on TV about the feelings that I was having in the wilderness, and I would talk about my deep, dark secrets, and I'd be a team player, but I'd also be a Rambo type as well, you know, go off on my own. I try to win. I'm a very competitive person. I really want to be on Survivor. Craig Collins, do you have a plan of how to get me there? You're a very smart guy.
My friend was on it.
How did that happen?
His parkour team asked him to audition.
Okay, parkour is awesome.
What's parkour?
It's when you free run. It's, you know, so my buddy, he would be in the studio with us right now. He would point outside to all the people and all the obstacles out there, and then he'd run across them in an interesting way. like jumping and flipping.
I could
and
do
stuff.
That.
I can... No, I don't think, Mark.
It's
no,
like
it
acrobatics.
Seems real difficult.
Really? Oh, so acrobat. It's not just like darting in and out. You got to like leap.
This
in.
Guy can do just a standing backflip, like just without any kind of practice or anything at all, and he just does them every so often.
Did you notice how Craig just? No, you couldn't do that. I mean, this is amazingly.
I promise you, it would take a lot of training to get
okay.
to that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Parkour,
not trying to
parkour.
Be mean. Parkour.
Parkour. All right. Well, we've got a great program for you tonight, or at least, you know, a somewhat decent one. That's the goal here. We're trying to, you know, do Patty well. Who Patty Vasquez, by the way, you should be following her on Facebook. A very, Patty had a great day today. I believe she got a mammogram and was, and put a picture out there on it. And I've had three people text me pictures of what Patty put on her Facebook page today. And she was out at Ravinia tonight. So hopefully she's having a great 4th of July if she is listening right now. I did want to say hello to my favorite Patty Vasquez. Do you want to say hello to Patty too, Rachel?
I would love to say hello to Patty. She is a radio idol.
She is.
She's so nice. I love Patty.
That sounds like, I've never heard anybody say that about Patty. She's so nice. Like that, I wouldn't say she's not nice, because she, of course, is super nice and super sweet and super tender and all that. But like nice, I feel like that's almost like insulting to Patty Bass. Ooh, I'm not nice. I am not nice. I am Patty.
When I met her as a pretty new intern, I met her when she was on Cochrane.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember she was so sweet to me always. And I was like, man, I want to be like her. And now I know she's super BA and super cool, and she fights for what she believes in and says words on the radio.
Absolutely.
To get records. And
yeah, I know. She's winning awards and everything. Patty, we love you. All right, this week on a very special Chicago Best, you can check out which restaurants took the win in the battle for Chicago's Best. That Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. We start the show with the 4th of July weekend and things you should absolutely not do next on 720 WGN. It's going to be a dance party all night on this show. Hope you're having a great Friday night. Welcome to your 4th of July weekend. I'm Mark Harmon. She is Rachel Woodall. We are sitting in for Patty Vasquez tonight as we kick you off into your 4th of July extravaganza. Rachel, how do you feel about the 4th of July? The 4th comes here. What is your first initial reaction, thought, excitement? Lay it all out there, please.
I think July 4th is awesome because I love parades and fireworks, and I know you feel the exact opposite.
Well, now, I live on the north side of the city, the Lincoln Square neighborhood, and what happens on the 4th of July, like it happens all over the city, Humboldt Park, wherever you want to go, really, Wrigleyville, is everyone's got to play firework technician, master, sparkler, make loud noises, nobody can sleep, and people get injured. Did you know, Rachel, that last year there were 11 deaths, 12,000 emergency room visits, all from fireworks accidents? That's the highest number in 15 years. The most severe accidents occur, of course, when people attempt to make their own fireworks, and anyone can be a victim. Now, why would anybody willingly choose to go out and set off fireworks? I would love to hear from people like, just anybody who actually loves setting off the firework and can actually preach firework safety.
Okay, to be clear,
yes.
I love professional fireworks. I live in the suburbs, so it's more like you drive to Crystal Lake and you sit across the street from the lake and you see giant fireworks that are pretty and safe. Fireworks in the city are a little bit scary because they also sound like gunshots.
That too.
It's just a bit alarming.
Mm-hmm.
So I will side with you on that. But I was reading an article today called Don't Place Fireworks in Your Butt and Other July 4th Firework Fails.
Oh. So
that's all really good advice, I think. I mean,
yeah,
you can stand by that.
So.
Yeah.
Now, do you have that piece up there, please? Because did somebody actually put fireworks in their butt?
Oh, yes, they did. There's a video. I did not watch it. I took
a video.
The caption to they said don't do it. There's a video of someone doing it. I'm assuming it ends poorly.
Yeah, I would assume it does as well. Children often suffer serious injuries from sparklers, which, you know, the sparkler seems like a very, I don't know, PG-13 firework, right? Nice little sparkler. yet children end up getting burned from the sparkler.
Real quick, can I say that I am a thorough producer, and I have seen the video of the man who set a firework off using his bottom.
How was it?
Well, he used the, you know, that area to kind of point the firework, I guess, and then lit it. And unfortunately, the backfire of all the, you know, all the fiery, horrible things coming out as it shoots up into the air may have injured the man.
Is he alive?
No, he's alive. He just probably doesn't look so great.
Well,
bottom half.
There was a Chicago barber earlier today. He lost his hand in Portage Park, right?
Oh, wow.
It was retrieved by a dog. He blew off his hand, and then a dog showed up at the house with the hand. And you know, 3:30 this afternoon, or yesterday afternoon, rather, I should say, heard an explosion, excruciating scream. And this was a 39-year-old man, blew his hand off in an alleyway, was rushed to Lutheran General. Talk to the news. Remember looking at my hand and there was no hand there, no fingers, no nothing. I mean, and I feel terrible for you. I do, but like, why would you do that? Just why? And Jason Pierre-Paul of the New York Giants, he blew off two fingers off his hand. I like to do somewhat dangerous things every now and then, like, you know, drive over the speed limit perhaps, or like pick my nose in public. But I don't get the whole set fireworks thing off. 312-981-7200. I'd love to hear from some of our pyros out there. Why do you do it? Like, what? Why is it fun? It's confusing. Have you ever set off a firework, Rachel?
Oh, absolutely not.
Really? Because I feel like you have like a wild side going on over there.
I've done some sparklers and those things that you throw on the ground and they make a little popping sound. Mm-hmm. Are they called poppers? I don't know.
Poppers, snappers, something.
The snappers. Those are fun.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, like I said, I like to leave the fireworks to the professionals. But the ones at Navy Pier are awesome, or when they set up some right outside the showcase.
Well, okay.
The lake over there.
Let's delve into that. Okay, you go out on the lakefront. Where do you like to watch your fireworks?
Well, I like to watch my fireworks in the suburbs.
Okay.
Because they're longer displays and they're not playing that crappy pop music over them.
So you're sitting there, and I don't want to be Johnny non-fun over here. Get off my lawn. But you're watching the fireworks go up into the air.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It's a game. My friend Jessica and I play ooh, ah, e, eh. Like, we'll go through different sounds, and we have a blast. And it's, I don't know, I think I like fireworks.
The ooh, ah, e, and game?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Well, we don't make creepy, like, sex noises. We just...
Whoa. I didn't think that was sexual. Ooh.
Maybe just the way you're like rolling your body when you say that.
Well, you see, that's true. I am making some gestures here.
Craig, help me.
Craig.
Well, I don't know what we're talking about when we're talking about doing fireworks at our house. Are you talking about like a nice Arctic blast, a fiery cloud, a yellow jacket, a kaleidoscope, a pearl? What are we talking about setting off?
So do you like setting off fireworks
at your
house?
No, I've never done that ever.
Oh,
yes.
You've never done that?
It's awesome. Every part of setting off a firework yourself as a man is awesome because I want to make things, I want to, you know, do things, and then when I light it, it shoots up in the air and explodes. That to me is like an amazing ha 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 kind of moment, right? Like, so you just get really happy and you're like, I just exploded this.
So
he just said you weren't a man.
So
I did.
So you
I blow stuff up constantly.
You
on the 4th of July specifically.
So you are one of those people. Like,
oh yeah. Every part of it, Mark. Every part of it's great.
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious right now.
Oh, my God.
You buy one of those giant things. You got to go to Indiana to buy it. Then you come back here to set it off. And you just buy a giant set of stuff. And you go through all of it. And you blow it all up.
So you're one of those guys that smuggles bundles of fireworks across state lines.
Yeah, that's exactly what I do. I've admitted that now on WGN Radio. I promise this is a joke. Law enforcement.
He's shaking his head.
312
every part of it's great.
312-981-7200. Is Craig Collins more of a man than me? Because he'll go out and set off fireworks. And I tend to look at those people and think to myself, would you get a grip of yourself and like not, you know, like I'm manly enough, Craig. I'll just say this right. I am manly enough that I don't have to set off a firework to feel like a man.
Hey, that's fine. You do you. You do you, Mark Carmen.
I quickly want to go
that didn't
through.
Feel that good. I think you still won. This is definitely a competition, by the way. Yes, Rachel?
I would like to go through the other things you're not supposed to do with fireworks very quickly.
Please do.
So, Do not light up mortar shells in the garage.
Oh.
Why would you ever do that?
Don't wake up sleeping friends with firecrackers.
Well, if it's just the one time.
Having Roman candles is no excuse to make a Roman candle machine gun.
The best kind.
And then don't place fireworks in your butt. Seriously.
Yeah, no, that one makes sense. That's, yeah.
Instead, leave the fireworks to professionals and enjoy the show like a child.
Mm-hmm.
This day was created,
ooh,
so I buy things that I get to blow up. I don't understand.
And make him stop making those noises.
Like I'm,
you go through your vowels.
I mean, I'm going to probably go out on Sunday night and walk the lakefront and sit there. But then I think last year I was on the lakefront during it, and I was perhaps by myself, which is a regular occurrence, and I don't think I've ever felt more lonely, just standing there like hoping that I was like going to be entertained, but just like watching this like the same show over for the millionth time. I need more excitement in my life, Rachel.
I've never heard anyone make fireworks sound sad.
Ooh.
And creepy. Do we have a break coming up?
We don't.
We don't have a break till the news.
Well,
you get to keep going, Mark.
Don.
You've never wanted to hear the news so badly before in your life.
No, I want to keep going. Actually, Don, do you set off fireworks up there?
up here in the newsroom?
Well, anywhere in your
We could get that done.
They fly light off here.
I am a firework.
Roger Badish is a firework.
He is a Roman candle, ready to take off.
You're too straight and narrow, aren't you, Don, to be setting off any fireworks?
I am not setting off fireworks.
Okay.
No, I do like to watch them though, and you know the pros do it so well.
The pros,
yeah.
That's all there is to it.
I mean, I listen at U.S. Cellular Field when the White Sox hit a home run, the fireworks go off. Great.
Wait, there's fireworks at baseball games?
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
I am in.
Yes. There are, Rachel, and they actually have them at Wrigley Field now too. Are you a Cubs or Sox fan, or do you like both? I'm going to say you don't like either, and you don't care.
Oh no, my late grandpa was a avid Cubs fan. He was an avid Cubs fan, so I am a Cubs fan.
Didn't you do a podcast on your grandfather?
I did.
That was super adorable. Like, it was really tender and nice.
When I
got a text from you, I think last Friday, and I was up in the woods, so I didn't get it for like 3 days later, and it said like, I'm super excited to host with you. Can't wait to do this. And I'm like, and it was an 815 area code. I'm like, I think I wrote you back. Who is this and when are we hosting?
That's how it went.
And that's exactly. And then I started listening to your podcast, and I heard the one of you and your you talking about your grandfather who passed away. And I thought that was just really awesome that you honored him that way, for real.
It's been about a year, so I just wanted to serve him right, but he loved the Cubs.
He loved the Cubs.
So the last time the Cubs went to that really big thing that they did again this year, the division or something.
Yeah, go to the playoffs. How about that?
Yeah.
That thing.
The last time that happened when I was in seventh grade or something, he sent all of our cousins T-shirts.
Wow.
So when it happened past year, it was
exciting. That's a legit real fan. You want me to do this? Okay,
yeah.
I'll do this. Well, do you know who your grandfather's favorite player was? Are you that in tune? Say Ryan Sandberg. It'll sound good.
Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. It was his favorite player was Ryan Sandberg. All right, we are on that note. Mine is Kerry Wood, Sean Dunstan, and Andre Dawson, and now Chris Bryant, who's going to win the MVP, even though
tonight. Okay, I'm just like, all right.
There I go.
We Still Like You, the podcast.
Stories of shame from people like you.
Yeah, that's what we're doing right now. I'm Mark Carmen, sitting in for Patty Vasquez, Rachel Woodall, and we and we bring in two gentlemen from We Still Like You, WeStillLikeYou.com. Check them out. Listen to them. iTunes, the podcast. And we've got Dan and Jesse in studio here. And you guys have a really cool idea because I guess we've all done things in our life that we are ashamed of, and it's kind of hard to let go at times of those because you feel guilty. Perhaps you impacted someone's life in a negative way, and you've kind of created a forum to just let everybody have a cathartic experience, so to speak. So take it away from there, Dan. What would you say?
Yeah, the show is basically like a reverse baptism. It's basically like taking your shame and just bathing in it and realizing that we're all kind of dirtbags.
So where did the concept for the show come from?
The show started 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago now. It was like February of 2014. Myself, Danny Gallegos, and Tyler Snodgrass, we're all like fairly new comics in Chicago, all doing stand-up. And we wanted to start a show. I mean, we knew what we wanted it to be about. We knew we wanted it to be something confessional and something that, you know, required you to kind of share a more vulnerable side. And so we created We Still Like You as a house show. It was originally in my apartment, where I had three roommates who were just so, so accepting of the fact that I brought this nightmare into their house once a month for a year and a half. And yeah, it slowly evolved into this thing now that's become just this celebration of any shame you've felt at any point in your life.
So what is it about the environment of being in an apartment or a backyard that you think helps with the kind of cathartic experience?
I'd say, like, especially at the start, since it was such a crowd of just, like, it was, you know, at the very beginning it was comedians watching comedians. It was, like, all people, like, our friends allowing this idea to grow. And I think it created this communal aspect that we have now where it feels like the way we do our stories is we don't limit our storytellers in any way. Like, we don't have a producer shape your story. We don't have anybody telling you exactly how it should be told. We want to hear it pretty much like you would tell your friends. We want it to feel like the first time you've told it. And so I think that apartment aspect, that like house venue, really helps it feel like, you know, just friends talking in a lot of ways. And we've since actually moved to a theater now. We're in a theater like for our monthly shows, and we still do house shows and things like that. But we've somehow managed to, you know, bring that feeling into a larger space. And I think it's because our audience is just so on board with, you know, forgiving people for all these crazy things they've done.
So in a standard show, you'll have how many people in the room per se? What's normal? I know you guys are a building and whatnot. I mean, it could be super small, but it could be how, like, what's the most you've ever had?
We're actually pretty proud. We've been standing room only since we moved into our new theater for the last 6 months, which is usually about 80 or so people.
So you got 80 people in a room.
Yeah.
And how many people of the 80 are going to share?
6 to 7, usually, right?
Yeah, usually bring up 6 to 7 performers. And then on the podcast, we record all of these stories. So people tell these stories live, not only in front of the audience that's there in person, but the idea is to put it out there on the internet and really, like, conquer that shame. Just, like, own that story and be comfortable enough to let it out there and be like, this doesn't define me.
So you vet who's going to speak before the show?
We take open pitches from our email, just westilllikeyou@gmail.com. Anyone's welcome to perform on the show.
Westilllikeyou@gmail.com, okay.
Yeah, we've had essayists, improv performers, primarily
we've had people with no performance background whatsoever just reach out to us with stories, too.
In fact, I think one of the strongest stories we ever had was someone who was not a performer and told a story for the very first time to anyone outside of her very, very close network. And, I mean, destroyed the room.
Yeah, she got the first standing ovation, and We Still Like
People were weeping. It was amazing.
What was the story about? Is that legal?
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, it was about being inadvertently inducted into a cult when she was younger. She ended up being involved with, like, this, like, small cult, and it was, like, just this really touching story, and she also made it funny at points, but it was, like, a very deep cut of a story. Like, it was very, very personal to her. And the fact that she was, like, willing to share it, and she, like, made herself so vulnerable for the audience, I think it just, like, really connected everybody in that moment. And it was just, like, one of the most kinetic show experiences I've ever had, where it just felt like everyone was so in that moment.
That's super cool. Dan Sheehan, Jesse Pretend in the studio, We Still Like You. So now you share the story, and then the whole thing is that the whole room is going to applaud. What goes on?
At the end of the story, they say, We Still Like You.
Yeah, they just they cheer, they raise their glasses.
Was I supposed to say We Still Like You?
No, I
He was pointing at me.
Let's be honest for a second, though, guys. There has to be some performance, some story, where maybe you said out loud, We Still Like You, but in the back of your brain, you're like, I really actually don't like you anymore.
Has that happened?
It has to happen.
There are some where people have really tested our audience's limits. Yeah. We've had a couple where it's left people just being like, whoa, like, that's a lot to handle. But I think, like, what we always tell people at the top of the show is that if someone has gotten to the point where they're on the show telling the story, they're not telling it because they're proud of what they did or because they're happy about what they did. There are a lot of things that people have done and confessed on the show where it's like, oh, you were, like, genuinely a bad, you know, boyfriend, friend, mom, dad, whatever, like, you know, and people are confessing these things because they acknowledge that it wasn't their finest moment, but we all have those awful moments and things we've done. So it's, like, kind of owning up to your full self, even though it's not necessarily the prettiest picture.
312-981-7200 if you would like to share a story. If something,
yeah.
If some,
oh, yeah.
312-981-7200 if you'd like to share a story where you, you know, have some guilt, some remorse, and we'll all tell you that we still like you.
You guys will absolve them on the air?
We still like you.
And, right. And we'll also give you a gift card to Lou Malnati's Pizza for the best one that comes in here. 312-981-7200. Rachel, would you like to share a story?
Well, I actually wanted to ask them for examples of stories first, but I do have one.
So
it just
do I.
Probably isn't as great. So would you guys like to share
sure.
an example?
Sure. Okay, I can go for one. I have a few like quicker ones that I use. One of my... I'm trying to think of also what's radio appropriate because the show is decidedly not very PG. I will warn potential podcast listeners that it does get a little rowdy in there.
All you need to worry about is profanity. You can dance around everything else.
Okay. One of my the first ones I tell at the top of a lot of shows is that when I was a kid, you remember like when you were a kid and Christmas time would come around and they would do those like Santa tracker things for young kids. And it would be like you could go online, you could see where Santa was at that particular moment in the day. And I remember me and my sister were both very young, and I told my little sister, who could not read and thus verify anything other than what I was telling her, that Santa had been shot down over Kuwait. And I thought this was a hilarious comedy bit, and instead all I did was ruin Christmas for a child briefly.
Hold on.
Now, wait a minute, too. Are there a lot of details that you had in the story? Like, was it a tragic...
I just Hindenburged it. I was just looking at my computer. I was like, oh, God. Oh, my God. Santa's been shot down over Kuwait. And, like, as a kid, I didn't even really know what I was talking about. I just knew, like, hey, there's a war going on. And, like, Santa got involved, I guess.
So we're talking, like, 1991. You're how old?
In 1991, I would have been like 1 year old. This is probably like 1998 or 99.
Okay, were there presents all over Kuwait, by the way?
How did you know about Kuwait when you were like 8?
My dad had this book about the Middle East that would always be around the house. And so I like knew some like cities from the Middle East in it, like just from the cover.
Interesting.
Yeah, just like those weird things you absorb as a child where, I don't know, just your surroundings.
Well, I think I like you even more after that story.
My sister... Not so much.
Do we need to, like, is it a whole, like, 1, 2, 3, we still like you clap?
We usually try to make it in unison. So,
are you ready?
Guys, ready?
1, 2, 3, we still like you.
Awesome.
Yes.
There
All right.
Go.
Bam. Okay. That would be your turn now, Jesse.
All right. So this is, I still really feel bad about this because I have absolutely no reason for doing it. But when I was in grade school, one day I left the sink running in the bathroom, and I don't know how this happened, but 2 hours later a kid comes rushing in and he's like, there's water all over the floor. And somehow the sink must have backed up. It flooded the entire room. Now here's where I actually am embarrassed. They made me come in and clean the carpets. And I got a disease from the carpet cleaner that only kids under the age of 10 are supposed to get. And I was like 13. So I don't know what
that
says.
You got a carpet disease?
I got a carpet disease.
So wait a second. You, just to be funny, you just decided to leave the sink on.
Yeah.
But, that makes sense.
But you thought that it would just drain. You were just like being like a water waster.
Yeah, water pranks.
Yeah.
Okay, the old water prank. And so then we had a clogged situation.
My guess is that someone came in and finished the job. Like, they saw the water on and they were like, oh, you know what would be really funny is if I plugged the sink.
Like in Home Alone.
Yeah.
The Wet Bandits.
How did the school know that it was you?
I went to a very small school.
Okay.
And someone must have seen me coming out of the bathroom. It's the only thing I can think of.
Interesting. Okay. I mean, that's like nothing. That's like less than PG.
I had one that was actually kind of mean that maybe I'll tell in the next segment, but I have a quick one about fooling a sibling, and my brother will deny that he ever believed this, but I have a cousin who looks a lot like me, especially when we were younger. We had the same like nose and mouth and a gap between our teeth, and we looked like brother and sister. And I had my brother convinced for an afternoon that my cousin Tyler was actually my brother. And my brother was my cousin, but our aunt and uncle didn't want him, so they traded kids.
Oh, my God.
I got in a lot of trouble.
What's the age difference between you and who you're fooling?
My brother's 2 years younger than me.
Mm.
So would you say your brother's still scarred by this experience? Does he not feel like he's...
He's probably mad that I just said that because he's going to say that he never believed me, but I'm pretty sure that he did.
Interesting.
He got very upset and told my mom, and then I got, you know, no TV or something. But I feel a little bad about it now, but mostly I still think it's funny.
312-98 with Deviant Rachel. 312-981-7200. Sharing something that you did in your past. We still like you, and if you do share... And it's the best one we hear. You'll win a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. I'm going to do mine when we come back here in a quick, what do we got, 2 minutes here on 720 WGN.
Woo!
Is that Debbie Gibson? No? Who is it?
Whitney Houston.
Whitney Houston, right. I knew that. I was just checking to make sure.
She's dancing all over this
video. I love Whitney Houston. And I love you. And it's the 4th of July weekend. I'm Mark Harmon. She's Rachel Woodall. And in studio, we've got We Still Like You, Dan Shee and Jesse Bittend are in here. And they're telling vulnerable stories. And we have Lou Malnati's for you if you'd like to tell a vulnerable story. And we're going to tell you that we still like you, even though you did something wrong. So here's mine. I'm 20 years old, roughly. I'm driving in the car with my girlfriend at the time, and I'm a competitive, athletic idiot occasionally. Mm-hmm. So we're going down a winding road, and there I see this chipmunk crossing the street. So my idea in the moment was I was going to zoom at the chipmunk, and I was going to perfectly hit it where the car was going to not hit. Hold on. I was going to perfectly cross over the chipmunk so it would be like right in the middle of the car. Okay, I wasn't trying to hit it.
Thank God. Okay.
So I go for it, and I have tremendous confidence in my athletic abilities and my driving abilities. So I fly over this chipmunk, and then I just feel the slightest clip of like the tail or whatever.
No.
And I look back in the window, and the chipmunk squirming, and not squirming anymore. And
Oh, no.
So did she think that you did it on purpose?
She went ballistic.
Oh, man.
Ballistic. I mean, full wailing, pounding on my shoulder, fists to the...
Wow.
And I deserved it. I absolutely deserved it.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Why did you think that athletic ability translated to driving around chipmunks?
Because there's a certain speed and the turn and the, I don't know.
So
and
you also, made the car go faster with your athletic skills?
Well, I mean, auto racing is a professional sport. I don't know.
Were you an auto racer?
In this moment in my mind, I was, Rachel. I'm a terrible person at that moment. And, okay, 1, 2, 3.
We still like you.
Oh, God, thank you so
kind
much.
Of.
I like you more than when I thought you ran it over on purpose.
I didn't run it over on purpose, but I did kill the chipmunk, and I felt terrible about it.
I was in Atlanta this week, and I almost crashed my car because I stopped really quickly to not hit a snake. there was a big long snake in the road, and I was on this dirt gravel road, and I didn't want to murder this snake. So I slam on the brakes, and my car is like flying through this gravel. And I'm like, that was dumb. Like in the moment, I'm like, if I die for this snake, this is stupid.
That snake better live a long and successful life.
And I opened the door to see what had happened to it, and it wasn't there. So either I hit it so hard it flew away, or, which I don't think is how snakes work.
It is.
Or it's safe. So.
630 texting, being a bad older brother, I'm cleaning up the language here.
Nice.
I once handcuffed my brother to our neighbor's fence and pantsed him. When I went back in, my friends were at the back door, so I forgot about my brother and left with my friends. Wait, hang on. Line just jumped. And he continues on. When I got home, my neighbor, mom, and brother were all sitting in our kitchen waiting for me to come home.
We like you so much.
That's amazing.
We still like
we
you.
Still
oh,
like
my
you.
God.
Mm. Oh, that's
thank you for sharing that. That's beautiful.
One more from the 630, this different 630. When I was about 5 years old, a friend and I were playing with sparklers in the basement of our apartment building. We threw the sparklers into the storage units. And then we left thinking they were extinguished already. They were not, and ended up catching the apartment building on fire.
Oh, man.
Wow.
It wasn't a total loss, but there were a lot of people displaced.
Whoa.
There was a lady who had...
seen us
playing with them and tried to blame us, and my mom refused to believe her and got into a fight with her. Do you still like me?
We still like you.
I mean, we've all been there.
We have not.
We were just talking about the dangers of sparklers.
We were.
And
yeah.
Look at that.
And
so
also sort of the majestic beauty of fireworks.
Right. Yeah. Okay, yeah, Craig. We got a text saying that the SWAT team's coming to your house.
That's not
no
good.
Joke. It's on here.
312-981-7200 for our callers. You can win Lou Malnati's with your stories where you were a terrible person, but we're still gonna like you. Mary Ann, you're on 720 WGN. Let's hear your story, Mary Ann.
Okay, but me and my sisters and a couple of our girlfriends, it was a summer night and we had to be about 10, 11 years old. We decided to egg cars.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a nice night and we didn't realize it, but we threw the eggs and they went in a car and landed on a bunch of guys who had tuxedos on. They were on their way to a wedding reception.
Oh, no.
And they got out of the car. We never ran so fast. We hid in the window wells of the neighbors. And oh my God. If they would have caught us, they would have beat us to death.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And it's like I felt so bad because, I mean, they were screaming.
Marianne, hang on. That's an outstanding call, and congratulations.
And
3, 2, 1.
We still like you.
Thanks, Marianne. 312-981-7200. That reminded me of hiding in the bushes / kind of a woody area by my house growing up, and we would crush cars with acorns. And one of them, a lot. And one of them stopped and went right up to the old door of my house, and that was the last time we did that.
Very nice.
312-981-7200. Pat, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I was, my wife was pregnant with our first child back in a while ago, and advanced pregnancy. She was 8th month or something like that, and she would get up to go to the bathroom frequently during the night at that point. And somehow I got the idea it would be funny, and I taped the toilet paper roll. And all I remember, and I had tears in my eyes, was hearing the toilet paper roll going around and around and around. Very funny.
Pat, good job.
We still like you.
Pat, oh, man.
Pat, are you still married?
27 years and 5 kids. And we're
all right.
Pat, you're the man.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hang on. We'll maybe take one more here. 312-981. 7200.
I have
yes.
a question. Do you think that the listeners still like us after we're laughing at all of this stuff?
Yeah.
I would certainly ask for that forgiveness.
It is in the rules. So.
Yeah, that's true.
The rules cut both ways. You have to still like me and my garbage self.
We can roll this over after the news because a couple more people want to share. 312-981-7200. Mary and Pat will take your information and we'll decide a winner after the 12 o'clock news. So quick timeout and we'll continue with We Still Like You on 720 WGN. Great job by Don Norton tonight. Don, have a great holiday.
Hey, you too. Have fun. And
enjoy the fireworks.
I will. I'll be back on the 4th just to make sure it's going to be a fun night.
Yeah. Yes.
Appreciate your help, Don.
Thank you.
So this is the Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez show. Patty is off tonight, and I'm Mark Carmen, and she is Rachel Woodall. And in the studio with us, Dan Sheehan, Jesse Batten from We Still Like You on 720 WGN. As we are, if you're just joining us, what we're doing right now is telling stories where we acted in a way that still embarrasses us to this day. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to just sit here and become a community, so to speak, and say we still like you after you share. Like, it's just a nice moment for you to, you know, give yourself that, hey, it's okay. We're not perfect people, and we're all moving forward in life, right?
Yeah, exactly. We've all done things. We've all said things.
And we're also offering to you at 312-981-7200 a $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's for the best story. And we've had two already, and now we will move along. And I'm going to share another one in a matter of moments because I've got a lot. But first you, 312-981-7200. Susan, you've got a story. You're on 720 WGN. Susan?
Hello?
Hello, Susan.
Oh, okay, hey. I didn't hear my name. yeah, I, when I was a kid, there's this police officer that wanted to date my mom, and I didn't like him. And so I talked to my girlfriends and to see if they had any leftover food. And we got leftover food, and the police officer wasn't home, so I stuffed like mashed potatoes and leftover food and down the windshield of his car.
Dang, to a cop?
Dang.
Yeah. And wait a minute, it's not done yet. I poured honey down there too.
Oh.
And then I took dish soap and put like food color in it and squirted it on the side of his house so it looked like paint.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
And then my girlfriend had a dog, and we picked up dog poop and put it on his doormat.
Whoa. That's crazy.
So was this his cop car or his civilian car?
Civilian car.
Oh man.
That's good at least.
That's still.
Wait, but did he solve the crime?
Listen to the joy in Susan telling the story.
I know. Do you feel bad?
I don't think Susan feels bad at all.
Oh, Susan, I still like you. That's amazing.
I like you too.
Yeah, that takes bravery.
Well, hold on before I give my liking on this, Susan. Why did you not like this gentleman? What was the reasoning behind it? Was there anything valid?
Well, he ended up getting kicked off the police force. Let's put it that way. His mm-hmm. behavior wasn't very good, and the kids in the neighborhood knew it, and I said, he's trying to date my mom, you know, and so they helped me get...
So you were like a cool vigilante.
Yeah.
You were just giving out street justice.
I guess I don't feel guilty.
If your mom was listening to this story right now, Susan, what would she think?
Oh.
He didn't know I did that.
Defended your mother's honor, got a crooked cop out of the biz. This is great. You're like Batman.
Yeah.
I'm going to guess that they did not end up dating.
No. It ended pretty quick.
But Jesse asked awesome. A good question. Did he solve the crime?
He was following me around and watching me for
See,
a
that's
while.
Weird.
Wow, yeah.
No wonder he got kicked off the force.
Right?
Man.
Yikes.
It was a small town, so it wasn't like, you know.
Well, Susan... 1, 2, 3.
We still like you.
Thank you, Susan.
Lot.
Awesome.
Hang on, Susan. Appreciate your. Listen to the joy in Susan.
Yeah. I love
loves it.
Way to go, Susan. 312-981-7200. Rachel, would you like to go next?
Sure. Okay, this one will actually test if you guys will still like me.
Uh oh.
I was sharing this with Craig earlier because we were talking about something else, and I realized I was trying to frame it in a way that didn't make me look bad because I was pretty ashamed of it. So I had a roommate who had to take Ambien, and she would do really weird stuff when she was on Ambien. So one night we thought it would be a good idea to duct tape her into her room. And... yeah, so we did that. So we put like a big X of duct tape in front of her door, and like her door's still open. But then, like later, we heard later that night kind of a noise coming from her room, and she was just standing there like a zombie because she would come out like naked and like cook food in the sink and stuff.
Oh, weird!
It was weird, but she's just standing there as like a zombie staring at the tape, and then finally ended up like crawling underneath it. And so then we took all the tape off and got rid of all the evidence so that she wouldn't remember it in the morning.
Oh, man.
If she was listening right now, would this be news
so
to her?
I'm so sorry.
And this was college? Did I hear that right?
Yes, okay. Early college. And, you know, I'm super old, so it was a really long time ago.
These things happen. 1, 2, 3.
We still like you.
All right.
Thank God.
312-981-7200. Cameron. You're on 720 WGN with your horrible story.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
See hey, Cameron.
So I'm a pilot, and I have a friend who is deathly afraid of flying. And the kind of deathly afraid where she gets on a plane, and every single noise she hears, she thinks the plane is just going to fall apart in the sky. And I thought it would be a great idea to take her up in a little Cessna 172, which is a four-seat single-engine plane, you know, and just fly around and try to get her to be a little bit more at ease with flying. And so we got up to like 6,000 or 7,000 feet, and I pretended to pass out. And I
no, that's such a high stakes prank.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
Like I had pretended Well, no, I had trimmed the plane out so that we would descend like 1,000 feet in a controlled way, but I was just passed out for 30 seconds.
Oh,
while she was screaming.
Oh my God.
Pounding my chest. She probably thought I had a heart attack. And then I just woke up and started laughing. And she and vowed never to fly again.
Wait. Did you just say that she never talked to you since? Did I hear that right?
No, she hasn't flown since.
Oh, she hasn't flown since.
Wow. Are you guys still friends?
Yeah. I mean, I ruined her future travel for the rest of her life.
Yeah, she can take a boat.
Yeah, boats are fun.
Hawaii for a honeymoon.
So you went like all Denzel Washington Flight, which is a great movie, by the way. And
it's a great movie.
And you were actually, that's impressive to be getting physically attacked and still act like you're sleeping. That's pretty good there, Cameron.
Thank you.
All right, you're a candidate. There's no doubt about it. 1, 2, 3.
We still like you.
Love you, Cameron. 312-981-7200. I didn't think we were going to get something that good. The old.
I don't know if I would still like him. After that, it would take me a while. If he did that to me. But
that'd be tough. I don't know. I love flying, though. So, and I love adventure.
I hope his next one is like a snakes on a plane type prank.
Just bringing a cool snake up into the sky
the
with him.
The snake that you didn't hit.
Oh,
in
my
Georgia.
Rescue snake, yeah.
Just don't combine it with Mark's story and try and avoid
Trying to avoid a flying snake.
Yeah.
Mark's, let me think about this. Mark's next story. Here, I'll do that in a second. 312-981-7200. Rather hear from you. Tim, you're on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Tim. Oh, I'm sorry. Tim, welcome in.
Jim.
Oh, Jim.
Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hey.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, right. Right when I got out of high school, I was in my young hippie stage. We had about 8 of us headed to San Francisco to see the Grateful Dead. And the van had a nice haze in it right when we got to San Francisco, and I saw these two guys on the corner with suit and ties on in front of a huge puddle. And as I accelerated towards the puddle, all my friends started cheering me on. And I just hit that puddle, and it just soaked them. Water went over their head.
I just kept going.
Jim, what would you like to say to them right now if they were listening?
I'm sorry. I was just young. Hopefully it doesn't happen to me. I was only in San Francisco for 5 minutes when I did it, and I just kept going with my Illinois plates on.
There's a theme of people destroying people's suits.
Yeah.
Suits are getting egged. Suits are getting wet.
That's not a good investment.
Jim, I have it on good authority that they are listening and they say it's okay. And they actually, nowadays, you know, a little time has passed, they think it was funny. So you're all right.
Yeah.
All right, Jim.
I saw their face right before I hit them, and it was kind of a
terror?
Terror and. Is this really happening?
Oh, it happened. You got it done. All right, 1, 2, 3.
We still like you.
Thank you, Jim. 312-981-7200. All right, so my last one. So many to choose from.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. My most vulnerable one, if I was to go there, I guess I will. I was in 7th grade, maybe 8th grade, junior high for sure. And there was a girl in the class who, she kind of had just, she was a little, I wouldn't say special needs, but she would shake a little bit. So I was in the back of the room, and I was trying to entertain somebody else who I wanted to really like me, because he was one of the cool kids. And so she ended up hearing me, which I did not realize that she had. And the next day when I came into class, I was called into the dean's office. I was threatened and the whole thing. Well, not threatened, but like, hey, you know, you were put, this is a super nice girl, and look at what you did. And I didn't think she had heard me, but like, I literally will carry that one for the rest of my life.
Well,
so apologies on WGN Radio 30 years later.
Well, 1, 2, 3.
We still like you.
That's a bad one. All right, but that's as vulnerable as I can be.
Yeah, that's the thing. I've done stuff like that, too. There were kids I was mean to growing up where I'm just like, oh, why'd I do that?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that just kind of spin out of control. I mean,
especially when you're a kid.
And a lot of stories do kind of begin with pranks or like some stupid idea. In college, there was a guy who believed in ghosts who, like, we convinced him that his house was haunted by basically sending him pictures from the security camera in his house and just photoshopping ghosts into them. And instead of being afraid, he was excited because he believed in ghosts. So he showed them to everybody in school. He submitted them to a ghost hunting program. He was chosen for said ghost hunting program.
He got his ghost hopes up.
And the internet, like, really let him have it. And I felt terrible because they were like, those are obviously photoshopped. And I was like, yeah, they are.
No. That's okay, Jesse. One, two, three.
We still like you.
One more, Cynthia.
I feel bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
We all do.
He kind of should have known better. That's an adult. Yeah. Cynthia.
Hello,
Cynthia. Yes.
Hey, Cynthia.
I worked in a hospital, okay, and this guy dies. Well, he was sitting up, and he was in rigor mortis, but they put him down flat. So another nurse's aide and I were told to take him downstairs to the morgue. So we're on the elevator, and all of a sudden I hear, and this nurse's aide was standing behind me, and she's like almost... I don't know, ready to pass out. He's sitting up on the stretcher. And by the time we got down to the basement, the supervisor was there. And as soon as the elevator door opened, we jumped. Well, lo and behold, this guy was still sitting up.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that sounds so spooky.
Hold on a second. You guys thought he was dead and he was alive? Am I hearing this right, Cynthia? I'm a little slow sometimes.
No. He was gone. I took his pulse. He was... You know.
So who was making the noises? Am I the only one confused here?
It was
the aide behind me.
Oh, she was just scared because he was just sitting up like a live guy.
To her because I had, you know, the buttons on the elevator, and all of a sudden she started going, oh. Anyway, that's what happened.
Oh, man.
Officially,
that would be terrifying.
I mean, I didn't need any confirmation on this, but I never want to work in a hospital.
Yeah.
Well, Cynthia... One, two, three.
We still like you.
Good job, Cynthia. Craig Collins, do you want to share before this is over? I know. Oh, boy, deep breath in there.
No, I think we could just leave mine out of
this. I think we probably should. I mean, we have no stone unturned. Hours.
Okay, well, I dated a girl when I worked at the Meijer grocery store, and she was a nice lady, but things, they weren't working out. She was calling me a lot. I kind of wanted a little bit more space. So I go into work one day, and I break up with her, and I realize the next day that she didn't get it. Like, she comes in, still acts like we're in a relationship. So I actually did it again, and I thought I used really good words. Like, I have to break up with you is literally words that came out of my mouth. Still didn't understand. So I took her out to a really nice dinner, and as we're at dinner, I see her parents walk in, and they come over and ask to sit down with us. And because I really wanted to be out of the relationship, I broke up with her in front of her parents. She didn't understand it still, so I excused myself to the restroom, climbed out the window, and left.
Oh, man.
Savage.
Oh, my God.
That's nuts.
That's phenomenal.
That's a real good one.
Yeah. Knew we weren't in a relationship after that, so yeah.
Oh,
it did work.
Are you sure she knows?
I'm pretty sure. I mean, she's out there still. Because
there's a lady outside the window waving at you.
Yeah. She came into work the next day, and she asked to never be... scheduled with me again.
Why? Hold on a second.
Wow.
I break up with you. Those are pretty
clear
words.
Well, I kept kind of adding the, you know, I really like you and things have gone so great, but I can't do a relationship right now. Like, I didn't.
So you're
trying to soften the blow.
Yeah, I try every single time, especially in front of her parents, actually. Yeah, I thought I softened the blow.
When you've got an audience for a breakup.
But I said that I didn't think that this relationship was working out. Those were words I used, and the parents were mortified. Their faces turned so angry with me.
What else could you do?
The girl was still sort of smiling like,
breaking up with their baby girl right in front of them.
Yeah.
She could have just been pretending not to understand.
Okay. Yeah, I think so.
That's like a long con. You find yourself married 20 years later. She's like, oh, I knew. Like,
yeah. No, but so I broke up with her three times, including from
her. Wow. I'm more interested.
And then I climbed out of the window.
Yeah, that's the part that I'm interested in. You climbed.
That is pretty fun.
I went to the restroom, and I noticed that it just was this kind of like wood window, and it was first floor, so it was pretty easy to get out. And I was thinking, like, going back to the rest of dinner, who pays for dinner? Her parents said they would pay. There's so many awkward moments in all this that I just wanted to not be
too
there
many
anymore.
Logistics to deal with. You had to get out of that situation.
And they hated me, full on hated me, and rightly so. She still didn't seem... I didn't want to break up with her a fourth time.
Yeah.
So
four is
that's
a little
gauche.
Bit
four is too much.
Four is too much.
All right. One, two, three.
We still like you.
I guess.
Good job, Craig. I think you should just walked right out of that bathroom and just waved goodbye. See you later. I have made a choice, and you're not in my life. There's nothing wrong with that. You're entitled to have that decision. Hey, okay, so how do people get to the podcast? How do they hear it?
The podcast is available on iTunes. Our new episode comes out this Wednesday. It's our Pride and Shame episode. It was from our Pride show this past June. The next show is July 16th at the Flatiron Arts Building at 1579 Milwaukee. That'll be 10 p.m. on July 16th.
Yeah, you can listen on, if you have Android, you can listen on any podcast app. You can get on your computer, your phone, take a listen. And we just did our one-year anniversary, so we've got a whole lot of backstories already up there for you to check out.
There's tons of episodes on there, and
And I cannot stress this enough. It is so worth it to listen to the podcast and go to the shows. I haven't been to one of the shows, but I'm going to come when I'm not working. The podcast is amazing. There's also this Twitter that Dan runs called Not a Wolf that everyone just needs to look at. It's at Sick of Wolves. It's definitely a man tweeting and not a wolf pretending to be a man.
A real human.
But thank you guys so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much for having us.
And let's decide on our winner. What do you think, Craig? Do you have an opinion? Because you
I do. I think that Susan's joy from attacking
that
cop car.
Yeah.
We all go with Susan?
I felt like Susan just really earned that.
She giggled the whole time.
I love a good distaste for authority. I can go on record saying that.
Yeah. Although, I also really like the Santa Claus story. I know that didn't count, but
I would feel pretty selfish walking out of here with the gift card.
Oh no, I'm just saying, out of our stories, I think it might be the Santa Claus one.
That's pretty good.
Susan, congratulations.
Susan nailed it.
You're great. We still like you.
But everybody who shared tonight is a champion, and we truly, 1, 2, 3.
We still like you.
Hey, congratulations, guys, on a great idea, and it seems like it's taken off. Very happy for you guys, and thanks for coming in tonight.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. That is Dan Shee and Jesse Batend. WeStillLikeYou.com, and you can email them WeStillLikeYou@gmail.com if you want to be a part of the show. Quick timeout, 720 WGN. Thanks again.
Come on, Roger.
Oh.
Get that head bob going.
Thanks again to Dan Shee and Jesse Batend. And I love this little Everybody Dance Now tune. This was a Rachel Woodall's request tonight.
Yes, it was. And I got to say, Dan and Jesse were the best first guests hosting to have, I think, for me.
How come?
Because they were fun. And they were very funny, and they lie about Santa Claus dying and clog up the sinks, and I still like them, and they got people calling. So.
Yeah, I know. It was great. That was an awesome segment. I think the whole concept is incredibly cool. Hey, Roger Badish.
Yes.
Roger.
Well, first off, I haven't seen you, Roger. I want to give condolences on your father.
Thank you.
Yes.
And I thought it was really cool how you... What about sharing it on Facebook and whatnot? Very honest and vulnerable, and you're a great man. And obviously your father had a ton to do with you being here today, just a small smidgen. So I just wanted to give my condolences to you and your family.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Thanks both.
Absolutely. And we have a ton more to do on the show tonight. Roger, of course, jumping in. We'll be giving you the news at the bottom of the hour in a matter of moments. Barb Burgess from the Wright Foundation is going to be with us at 1 o'clock, right after the 1 o'clock news. We're going to talk about the care profile and how you can enhance your life by understanding who you're dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Cooperators, analyzers, regulators, energizers.
Yeah.
What do you think you are, Rachel?
So I actually went through the descriptions that you sent me, and I have a little bit of everything, but I think I'm an energizer.
Interesting. Okay. Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. Before we get to the news, this is kind of a newsy story. I grew up in the rough and tumble town of Highland Park, Illinois.
Oh, man.
I mean, it was a really, really tough upbringing as far as... you know, a lot of danger on the streets and
super middle class.
Yeah. And... Yeah. I mean, I had it tough actually, cause we didn't have, the 10 man landscaping crew. We only had the 4 man and
sometimes
I had to actually cut the grass myself and we didn't have the glass backboard. We only had the wood backboard. So it was tough for me on my side of the streets, but Highland Park is under attack right now. There are mosquitoes that are flying around the great 60035 that have tested positive for the West Nile virus. And I don't know why they're all descending on Highland Park, Illinois, and how Highland Park, Illinois has figured out that there are mosquitoes with the West Nile virus. But, you know, my hometown is under attack here, and just a story in the Tribune today about it. And apparently there's a mosquito surveillance program in Lake County that includes setting or trapping and all this type of stuff. I'm very confused. I didn't know this existed. But, you know, some great people, including my father, is out there. I mean, we've got West Nile mosquitoes going on here. And I'm looking for you, Rachel, to save the day here. Can you do anything for me?
Sure. There's a system of 4 Ds. Number one, drain empty water from outdoor containers.
Wow.
Number two, dress with long-sleeved shirts.
Okay.
Number three, defend with insect repellent. And number four, stay indoors at dawn and dusk.
Wow.
You're okay. Welcome, Highland Park.
Yeah, you are welcome, Highland Park. That's some serious knowledge right there for the 60035. Go Giants, by the way. Class of 1991. Wear it proud. I know.
I was class of 2008.
I know.
Oh, you three young ones.
What class did you graduate in, Roger?
70.
Watch Navy Pier's Independence Day display live as fireworks light up Chicago's lakefront. Chicago's Summer Blast, a WGN TV special, July 4th at 9:30.
720 WGN. I'm Mark Harmon. She's Rachel Woodall. We're sitting in for Patty Vasquez. Tonight it was off for the 4th of July holiday weekend. Hope everybody's having a great start to it tonight. Our phone number is 312-981-7200. We're going to have Barb Burgess from the Wright Foundation here at 1 o'clock. But right now, it's a story that Craig Collins sent me today. And I think that Craig somehow identifies with this story.
Oh, I sure
All
hope
stories.
Not.
And go ahead.
Well, so this the headline of this story is, prison inmates pay this woman to create and run their Facebook pages almost 100 hours a week.
Yeah.
So, okay, this was a story that I would not have come across in my daily regimen, but here it is. So, it reads, you ever been to prison first, Rachel?
Have I ever been in prison?
Mm-hmm.
No, well, I have not.
Craig, you ever been to prison?
We did a visit one time in high school.
Visit.
Have you ever been to prison?
I'll get there in a second. Oh, okay. Overnight stay, oh, Craig, or just a couple hours?
You're just there a couple hours. One of the inmates came out and told us how we could go to prison if we do anything wrong ever.
Was okay. It a scared straight thing?
Well, yeah. We weren't bad kids, but it felt like that, yeah.
Roger Badish, you've been to prison?
I've been in jail, but not prison.
You want to share?
Traffic.
Yeah.
Okay. Lame. Mm.
Well, hey,
that's not that lame.
I live a very exciting life, you know.
Well,
class of 1970,
and one of your evil schools, there, Mark.
Which one would that be?
Evanston Township High School.
I got nothing against Evanston. I'm
pro. Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, all right.
First girlfriend from Evanston.
Oh.
Go Wildcats. I'm a fan. I've told the story a bunch of times on WGN that I'd get arrested at game four of the 1993 NBA Finals for attempting to sneak into Chicago Stadium.
Wow.
And I missed the entire game, a game in which Michael Jordan scored 55 points, and I was being accosted on somewhere on Harrison Street or whatever it was, and they checked my body for any illegal possessions, and they really checked me thoroughly, and I'll always remember that. So that was an experience. But the point of this story here is, as I segue back into it, her name is Renee Royster, okay? She gets on her laptop, and she goes through dozens of messages from prisoners that she had collected, you know, overnight, and she begins her day just...
So she copies and pastes messages they send her onto Facebook pages that they had paid her to create for them.
So they email her, and then she goes to Facebook to let their loved ones know what's going on with them, basically.
And yeah. I read this
please,
this sentence?
Help me.
This passage.
Read a passage.
This is what Renee, who is 47 and lives in Ohio, does for up to 100 hours a week.
It's a lot of hours.
Stopping only for new Game of Thrones episodes and smoke breaks and calls from her boyfriend, Jimmy, who
what
is currently incarcerated in Kentucky and who she met through the business.
So okay, let's just that's a lot to digest.
Yeah.
So she met her boyfriend while he was in prison.
Yes.
I'd love to hear from somebody at 312-981 who's ever created a relationship with someone in jail.
Okay. Well, so then,
go for you. You go.
That's an interesting way to take this whole story, Mark. That's that. Okay, we can go there. All right.
What way would you want to take it?
So I think it's interesting that the prisoners really want to keep their Facebook profiles updated. I wonder if some of them are even pretending they're not in prison. Like every day she checks into a Dairy Queen for them. She, you know, does something
what
where
I would do.
Right, exactly. She's tweeting from somewhere and maybe showing pictures of everyone but the person who runs the Facebook page because they're kind of in prison. Maybe she's even photoshopping their face in certain locations, like just went out, saw, you know, Mount Rushmore. This is great.
Oh, so you're saying that these people are strategizing that they're not actually in
correct.
Prison.
Correct. That was kind of the way that I took the story, is that some of these people are maybe paying her to maintain their social media presence as if they are not in prison.
And this is what she calls herself a social secretary for people who have been deprived of the forms of communication that everyone else has. So on her little flyer that they have.
Her flyer.
Mm-hmm. It says you can do Tumblr, blogs, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest. I don't know why you would need to do that in prison, but okay. Reddit, LinkedIn, and Google+.
A lot of options.
And then it says if you don't see what you need, contact me.
One of the parts of the story that I like, she sees herself as a social secretary for people who have been deprived of the forms of communication that are now ubiquitous almost everywhere except for prisons.
Ooh, you know what she also did? One man had her research medieval England so he could write a novel sent there for $125 a month. You know, I will do research for someone in prison for $125 a month.
Listen, I want to be clear here. I think everybody deserves a second chance in life and all that. And I would actually be interested in visiting a prison just to see what goes on. However, and I'm always interested in career changes too. I mean, maybe this would be something that someday I might consider. But at this very moment right now, this is just, like, there are people live some really bizarre lives out there. I mean, they make choices that I would never even think could possibly even be a choice. And yet, that's what's like going on all around us every single day.
Think about it, though. She could write a book about this or do a TV show about this. She could have something to go alongside Orange is the New Black.
She met her boyfriend from this.
That is, there's some things that are a little weird in this article, but I think the idea of this is how much social media is dominating our world is...
Well, that's
my main takeaway as well.
Well,
like
that's
Craig.
That's absolutely true.
And that also brought me to Facebook now has options for what to do with your Facebook when you die.
Yeah.
So people are that focused on Facebook that you can have a memorialized account or you can have a legacy contact to have someone manage your social media when you're gone. It's kind of out of control.
So if something terrible happened to me, would you take over my Facebook account, Rachel?
Sure. Just have to make me your legacy contact.
I've got to make you that's an active choice I have to make?
Yes.
So sort of like saying that you're going to be an organ donor, you got to make your legacy contact?
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. So if you don't do that, then Facebook will eventually figure out that you died and then they'll delete your account. Is that the deal?
I mean, I've been Facebook friends with people who have passed away and people kind of turn their accounts into a sort of memorial.
Right.
But I think this is a more official way to do it so it doesn't look like the person's still alive, which can be a little bit uncomfortable, I think, probably for the family.
We have a lot of... I mean, I'm on Facebook all the time.
Me too.
You're on it all... Yeah. Craig, are you on it all the time?
Yeah, I guess so.
Roger Badish lives on it.
That is true. Roger Badish Facebooks more than all of us.
He's Facebook living right now. It's amazing.
Oh, I should have done that.
You still have time.
That's true.
So, I mean, Facebook has basically gone from, hey, you can get on here and you might get to have sex, to, hey, you can't live your life That's Roger Bash. Well, you're looking all crazy. Did you not?
Is that how it started?
Just yeah, to be clear, that's not why I joined Facebook. When
no,
I was
it started no. only exclusively for like college and high school
Correct.
Kids.
Correct. I was in college when Facebook started. Okay. And I was one of the first Facebook colleges to get access, I guess. And yeah, we just did it to know all the people in our class.
If you watch The Social Network, which was a great movie.
Correct.
Right. I saw it, but I vaguely remember.
The big hook on there is that when they decided to put relationship status on there because you might actually get a girl. That was the key decision, at least as far as I could tell, early in Facebook's career that got people on it at all colleges because they want to know if you're single or not, and hopefully they may find you and something good could happen.
But they could have done that on MySpace too.
You know, I don't think
MySpace was just so confusing.
To be honest, again, to be a guy that was in college when Facebook launched, I got on Facebook to know everyone else at my school because it's a little hard to meet everyone. But on Facebook, you could casually know everyone and every single... It wasn't just to date.
Yeah. I mean, when I was...
I don't believe you.
I joined in high school.
I mean, I was really interested in some of the girls' relationship statuses. That is true.
Yes, of course.
But that wasn't
Thank
the
you.
Only reason we were on there.
I'm not saying... Okay, fine. But the biggest reason for its success is... And it's also, by the way, a huge problem nowadays because...
True.
People are married and they perhaps get a little bit bored. And then all of a sudden, they're all their high school...
Okay, Mark Zuckerberg, if you are listening, which I'm sure you are because I know you're a fan of mine...
Is that right?
Yeah, definitely.
He was her first, actually.
Wow.
Right?
What?
My first fan.
Yeah.
Her first friend fan.
Yeah.
Call in and tell us why Facebook is successful, because I do not think it is because it shows people's relationships. Because a lot of people in happy relationships still like Facebook. Everybody's not trolling, right?
312-981-7200. Why are you on Facebook? Why is it become basically like water? Roger Bass, what's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning?
After taking Rufus out?
Yeah.
Get
on Facebook?
Get a bowl of cereal and sit down on Facebook. Do my morning post.
See?
And then I wake up and I always see that Roger Badish posted in Fans of Roger Badish. And I read Roger Badish's morning update.
I mean, there's most days when I'm laying in bed, like it's probably the first thing I do, which I think is incredibly embarrassing and pathetic, but I do it.
Yeah, I'll do that. It's email, like you're Twitter.
You're reaching out for. It's like you want to be connected to the world, mm-hmm. And so Facebook's like.
Are mornings where after I do my morning post. In fact, sometimes even before
you do a morning post every day.
Just
yes,
about.
He
I've
does.
Kind of been lax for obvious reasons for the past week,
that's significant.
But I basically do at least one morning post. That's when I usually do my old man music history thing, which I've been a little lax on lately, too.
But
I spend more of my time, a half an hour will go by before I realize that much time has gone by for me reading everything on my news feed.
Yeah, you just went down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. It just forever.
Right. No, you could spend literally the entire morning there.
Sure.
Yeah. But I don't think you, at least for me, I don't feel better after the experience. It doesn't uplift me at all. But I do it.
Well, now you can.
You don't have to like everything that you read.
You can also ha-ha, love, sad, angry face.
Or even write something back. You don't have to do the emoji stuff. I mean, make it more personable. But my stuff is usually just finding out what's going on in everyone else's lives that I may or may not be interested in.
Right.
You know, and there's some people, especially people I've gotten to know on Facebook, who are going through a lot of tough times right now, health-wise and family-wise, and I care about what they're going through. And so several where I say, you know, what's the latest? And then they'll post an update, and I stay updated on that.
There is something to be said about, like, I have some people who are close to me who recently let go of Facebook, like, mm-hmm. just deleted them, because you can deactivate them, and if you ever want it again, it comes right back. But there is something to be said about learning about people from their mouths. Because have you ever had one of those moments where you run into someone that you haven't seen in a while, but your friend's on Facebook, so you're like, hey, man, how was that wedding last weekend? And it's a weird thing where you know stuff about them that they haven't told you.
you don't want to admit that you've been trolling. Hey, I've been trolling you on Facebook. I heard that I saw that you broke up with your girlfriend and that you got a new job.
Yeah.
And that
how's your new job going?
It's a nice haircut, too. You look great.
And on Tuesday of last week, you put just a sad face. I was curious about what that meant, but I know you didn't explain it, but it's fine.
So there's something to be said about, you know, just talking to your friends in real life. I think it can reinvigorate your relationships that are closest to you.
Is it fair to say that it's actually ruining the world? Because we walk outside.
Yes and no. Isn't it in some ways improving the world? There's a lot of people that would have just been gone to you that now exist in some form in your life. I'm getting a phone call.
That's true.
It's good and bad because it's kind of, it's annoying when certain people are still there and you wish that they'd be gone. But other people, it's cool to catch up with somebody from preschool.
But you can get rid of those people if you'd like to.
But yeah, if it's like your significant other's, like, you know, ex or whatever, you know, there's like certain people you just don't really want to see.
Your significant other's ex.
Well, you're the one who keeps talking about dating, so I'm just trying to bring it.
Well, yeah, no, I do, but I think that you just went down.
Oh, I'm not saying anything specific. I'm just saying, like, in general, like, there's people, or there's the kid that bullied you in kindergarten. Like, do you really want to see?
Yeah,
if he's doing really successfully, like, you don't want to see that.
You're right. You don't, Ryan Edelman.
But at the same time, can we talk about unfriending a person and how hard that seems to be sometimes? And also, if someone unfriends you, how insulted are you? Because I get pretty insulted. And even if it's people that I haven't talked to in a while, and for some reason I wander upon that I'm no longer friends with this person, it's very confusing.
It's very sad. You take it personally.
Like, what did I do? I did nothing. We haven't spoken.
It's a button on a screen.
We're still friends.
My ex from college, who has now made the show like 3 times tonight, she defriended me like maybe 2 years ago. And then a year later, she refriended back and said I was going through some really tough times. I'm like, why do I got to get thrown in the tough times umbrella? What did I do? I mean, we were like dated 20 years ago.
But that's the thing, is you don't want to see exes or other people's exes.
Yeah, apparently not. Now she's like posting stuff on my page. She's being super aggressive.
Ooh. Well, you know, Facebook also, Facebook has that on this day thing where you can look back in memories. But yeah. Facebook has, I was looking for this thing about when you die. They have options for when your relationship ends where you can choose like not to see them choose not to see a person in memories, choose not to see their posts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if you've blocked them and there's, like, pictures that they were tagged in somehow, you don't have to see those anymore.
I need that.
Well, you have it. It's on Facebook. So Facebook is simultaneously ruining the world and then picking it back up.
I just think it would be nice, like, if we actually, you know, were on the L or bus or walking down the street, that we actually, at the bare minimum, like, looked at who was around.
That's,
you know, you don't have to speak.
I try to do that.
How about just like a nod, like, hey, you don't even have to give a hey, just a little, you know, the old head down. Hey, like, you know.
If you ever did that, they'd call the police on you.
That's true, Roger. That's a very good point. All right, 312-981-7200. We do need to take one more quick time out. Barb Burgess from the Wright Foundation is going to be with us after 1 o'clock as we will solve your personality for you. You're going to make more money. You're going to be happier. You're going to figure yourself out. All that's going to happen right after 1 o'clock on 720 WGN.
Yes.
You like this one?
I love this one.
What is this one?
No Diggity.
You can go further than that. Let it out.
Mm-hmm. It is just the music only.
I was going to say, I know the rap, but I can't remember if it's radio friendly or not, so we're going to go with no.
Yeah, no. Let's go with no. It is the Backstreet Boys, though, so.
So, I really enjoyed that. My name is Mark Carman. You're Rachel Woodall. This is 720 WGN. Patty Vasquez, Pretty Late, is off tonight. Patty will be back on when, Craig? Do you know?
Yeah, Monday.
Monday's the 4th. You guys are doing a show the 4th?
I am not. I am out, but Patty is in.
Patty's
know that.
Interesting. Okay.
Patty's going to have a very busy day on Monday, too.
Yeah, she's going to Evanston for the parade. And Skokie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's all over the place. And then she'll be here live in studio at 11 o'clock.
And she's going, her mother is going to be along, right?
Oh, on the parade?
On the parade, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool.
Okay. All right, well, that's amazing, and Patty's like the hardest working person I know, which is super awesome. So, Rachel, you're a huge basketball fan.
Yeah, we established I know more about sports than anyone at the station.
Right.
Sorry.
And you've just been holding back for a long time here, and you are now wanting to show management that you have skills in an area that they don't think you do, correct? Is that about right?
Well, I mean, they know that I have skills in every area, so.
Interesting. So, wow, okay.
I sound really unlikable.
I think.
We still like me, right?
Well.
Okay.
They do. So, well, here's what's going on in the NBA right now is that all these, the free agency started today. So all these guys are getting huge contracts, and you know about every single one of them. And they're getting ridiculous money because the salary cap went way up. And so these teams have to spend a certain amount of millions, which is a lot of millions. So all these guys are getting overpaid. So what we thought we would do here on our one sports segment of the night, which, by the way, I'll be back here tomorrow for the beat, actually today, for the beat at 3 o'clock with Kevin Powell, when we'll do a real sports show. But I'm gonna give you a name, and I'm going to give you a little bit about him, and you're going to tell me how much money he made. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
This man is a guard. His name is Joe Johnson, a.k.a. J Squared. He's played for, he was great with Atlanta, and then he played with Brooklyn. And he also was a guy that can really shoot the jump shot. He's leaving Brooklyn, and he's heading to Utah on a two-year deal for...
Should I say what I think he should earn or what I think he does earn?
What you think he's going to earn.
$1.5 million.
$22 million for Joe Johnson, who basically can't do anything.
He sounds like the most plain basketball player.
Joe Johnson's pretty plain.
Joe Johnson.
Now, you may know this guy a little bit better.
Okay.
He's got he's had major knee issues.
Derrick Rose.
Well, you're close.
Man, that would have been so good.
He also separated his shoulder, and he only played 29 of the 82 games last year. He actually left the United Center with his shoulder basically falling off as he ran off the court for the final time. He's got a Noah's Ark Foundation in Chicago.
Joakim Noah?
Joakim Noah, yes.
Joakim, dang it.
Now has left the Chicago Bulls for the New York Knicks on a four-year deal. How much money is Joakim Noah going to make?
So the other guy got $20 million?
22 for 2 years. This is 4 years.
This dude is going to make $100 million.
Not a bad guess. You went bold. $72 million bucks for Joakim Noah.
Okay.
$72 million. Now, this man is a journeyman center.
I know what that means.
Do you know what that means? Okay, journeyman means that he's never done anything. Okay, he's the end of the bench.
Really?
Yes. His name is Justin Hamilton. Justin Hamilton, in the 2013-14 season, played a combined 8 games and scored 4 points. In 2014 and 15, he played in 24 games. He averaged 2.8 points per game.
I'm going to guess.
Last year he played for Minnesota, he played in 17 games.
Out of
82, they did average 9 a game. How much is Justin Hamilton, who no one has ever heard of, worth? Now, there's a lot. Just bear in mind, there's lots of people that are working really hard in life. What's Justin Hamilton worth?
$17 million.
Justin Hamilton is worth $6 million. The point of the story is that do not think about your studies. The only thing that matters in life is just taking the round ball and learning how to put it in the hoop. Education is overrated. It's all about basketball. I actually slightly mean that.
All right.
Baddish, do you have any basketball skills up there?
I have a few.
See, you could have made a lot of money.
For a short guy, I yell loud.
Everybody is getting
rich. I can get in your face.
Okay.
$2.5 million.
That's right there. That's $2.5 million.
Bam.
Perfect. Perfect.
Etwan Moore, who never played for the Bulls, basically got $34 million today. Matthew Dellavedova, who is got $39 million today.
Cool.
I really, really, really want to be an NBA basketball
player. Mark, what can
you
do on the basketball court?
Well, you know, I got a good crossover dribble, Craig, and, you know, the jump shot is a little bit...
$14 million.
That's right. Thank you very much. Okay, time for the news. Barb Burgess from the Wright Foundation is going to be with us next. We're going to learn about cooperators, analyzers, regulators, energizers, how to get along with anybody. I'm guessing that there's some people out there that perhaps don't get along with everybody.
I'm guessing that. So
perhaps in the studio and in the newsroom and in this producer's...
I'm feeling a lot of shade right now.
No, no, no. None of that's going on. This place is our place. We'll go be models now. 720 WGN 107 in the morning. I'm Mark Carmen. She is Rachel Woodall. Rachel, you're 2 hours into your first show on WGN. You want to give yourself a grade?
Do I want to give myself a grade?
Yes. How do you think you're doing?
I
think you're doing great.
I think the show's going wonderfully. So how about I grade the show?
Okay. You can do that.
A plus.
Okay, that's a tall grade. We're gonna keep it going on the A plus level here. Barb Burgess, who's the chief operating officer for the Wright Foundation, is in our studio, and Barb is a superstar as far as understanding people. So this is a rare
too much pressure, Mark.
No, you can handle it. So this is a rare opportunity to get some little professional coaching. We'll put it that way. Right now on WGN now. You guys, Bob Wright, Judith Wright, who are the leaders of the Wright Foundation, they created the CARE profile.
Mm-hmm.
CARE, which is spelled C-A-R-E. Thank you.
We're off to a really good start. I'm psyched.
I went to the spelling check. I went to the University of Iowa, 1996, psychology degree. I learned how to spell. So the CARE profile, C stands for cooperator.
Yeah.
A stands for analyzer. R stands for regulator. E stands for energizer. Now, why is this important, Barb? Before we go any further, why was this created? Why am I holding this book, the CARE profile, in front of me? What was the genesis? What is the idea? Why is this something that can help people in their lives?
Well, there are a ton of personality style assessments and tests that are out there. So this is not, you know, that's been studied for many, many years. But, you know, the whole point is, how do we get along better with people? That's the reality. And, you know, you promised people making tons of money out of doing it. I don't know about that. But but to know ourselves and to know other people can help. Kind of comes in handy. It's the stuff we don't learn in school, right? So your major you're using. I was a French major from Iowa, nonetheless. And
go Hawks.
I'm not doing any bonjour, but still, you know. But the things we should learn is, how do we get along with people? You know, what are the things we get in trouble about? And, you know, it works fabulously in relationships and work and everything else.
So you came in here and you told us what we were, and I have never met you. How did you do that?
I was listening to you.
Yeah, I read the article that he sent me, you know, the other day about this, and I was thinking, yeah, I think I have a lot of energizer and then a little bit of cooperator, and that's exactly what you said.
Oh, I was totally guessing. So there was my whole scientific assessment. But when you're looking at what style you are, the first thing you're looking at is, am I more on the, you know, kind of thinking or feeling side? Mm-hmm. And am I on the more, you know, outgoing or introverted side? And I'm thinking you're both in radio. You got to have a little bit of that outgoing, although there's probably a little introvert there as well. Mm-hmm. But also just sort of your upbeat personality, that kind of stuff, is not an analyzer, definitely. And a regulator would just be saying, let's just get the thing done, and wouldn't really care about it. But you're having conversation, you're chatty, you're being warm with people, et cetera. So that was my guess, although it could be totally wrong.
Well, that was my guess too, so.
Okay.
And I think what's important to know here, the no one corner is better than another, right? Analyzers are not better than energizers.
Energizer number one.
Well, right. I feel the same way.
Except for Rachel and Mark.
Well, I felt Rachel.
They're
like,
yes! The best.
Because energizers definitely like feel like we're the best because we're energizers.
Right.
And the rest of you are lame because you have no energy.
Right. You and the regulators think you dominate, but we cooperators and our friends, the analyzers, might disagree with you. So it really is important that there is no right style. I mean, that's the bottom line. And I think that's part of where we get into trouble, is we can't understand why everybody doesn't think like I think. And so we want everybody to act like I act, and then we get all confused when they don't, and then we get in stupid fights and arguments and disagreements at work and in our relationships because we think everybody's going to be like us, and they're not. And the point is, they're all valuable styles, they're all useful in different situations, and we all need to know how to do all of them.
So okay, let's take me and let's make me
you know, I've been waiting for this moment. Let's go.
Okay, I mean, I'm excited to get your feedback here. So let's just say, for I think I'm an energizer, but sometimes I feel like I'm a cooperator because I like to get along, and I don't necessarily want to say like the deep dark thoughts that are in my mind about how you could do the XYZ better or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
Certainly, you know, perhaps with my family or on in my dating life, if somebody says something that I don't agree with, I don't necessarily like bust out a ton of energy and say, you're wrong, I disagree with you. I'll just kind of more nod my head and say, well, okay, and maybe I'll make like some like subtle adjustment to it.
Right.
So how, if I'm like, I was on a first date tonight.
Yeah.
And she walks in and she's quiet, and can already tell that she's kind of sizing up the scene. I'm thinking to myself, you are an analyzer all day long. And here, I'm this Energizer guy who,
right.
You know, she's probably read 17 books and I haven't read a book in 17 years. So now how do I get along and connect and like create a bond with somebody who, yeah, we might be different, but there also could be a nice, you know, meeting of the minds there.
Totally. Well, I think the first thing to do is do what you did, which is you kind of do your best guess at what style she is, right? So rather than expecting her to be like you, you don't have to judge her just because she's all quiet and she might be analyzing and maybe she has more academic, you know, vigor, but to really look at how can you meet her where she is. So she's not going to come out all bubbly and make you feel good about yourself. She's going to be more quiet and soft-spoken, and she's going to be sitting back a little bit. So the question is, can you meet her where she is and know that that's okay? And analyzers like data. So can you give them data? You know, can you help her feel grounded about herself and being there and things that way and kind of meet at her pace? She's not going to go fast in the relationship or the conversation, right? That's... So is it okay and can you meet her where she was rather than being like, why isn't she affirming me? I'm great. Why isn't she telling me that yet?
That
hypothetically, Mark, of course.
That was definitely your thought.
No, I was going to say that I like that hypothetically. Yes, that's exactly what I was thinking. Oh, I'm getting nothing here.
Right. You know, I'm a little curious. We can understand a lot of this stuff very, very well. You could teach someone how to maybe analyze and pick up what traits people have.
Mm-hmm.
How do you teach someone how to enact that knowledge, how to actually use that knowledge in the moment? Say it's a conflict, say it's something where it's really hard to go beyond what's emotionally coming to your mind and mm-hmm. actually focus on something a little bit beyond that.
That's an excellent question. So, I mean, the first thing is, you know, huge disclaimer, you don't want to be fake. So there's nothing worse than teaching a formula about, let me now say this phrase in this way. I mean, yes, that data are helpful, but you really want to be genuine about it. So the point is you really want to meet somewhere where they're at. But if you do and you can understand their style, then you can do a lot of things that are very practical. So, for example, I have two different co-founders of our foundation, and their styles are totally different. One of my bosses is a regulator. He's hard-hitting. It's right between your eyes. And my other boss is more of an energizer. And so I learned very hard when I first started working there that I had to adapt to the two different styles. So my boss, who's the regulator and is hitting you right between the eyes, you know, I'm sending him all these emails. I'm providing way too much data. I'm doing it in my style. And he finally comes out to me and he's like, cut it out. Just get it done. You know, just right in my face. And I was like, okay, got it. And once I learned about how the styles were, I totally talked to him differently. I speak in bullet points. My emails are in bullet points. I have 3-minute conversations with him that are totally bottom lined as we're walking down the hall. Now, that wouldn't be where I'd come from normally. And then it's not where I meet my other boss who wants to know the background. What are people thinking? How are they feeling, et cetera? So it really is a muscle to exercise. But just being able to approach those two different people in a different way, I can be more successful with the exact same agenda.
So, okay. In the scenario where you want to give more data, he wants bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel satisfied in that situation? I know that he's your boss, and your goal is to make him feel good, and your all that type of stuff. But like for yourself, where you're like, you know, you still want to feel good in your work day, right? So how does that whole thing come together?
Well, if I need data from a regulator, I'm going to ask for data in a bullet pointed way with what they want in mind. So I would hit it very hard and direct. So I know you want this. I know this matters to you in the company. So you want to know this. Can I get this data? Boom. That fast. And then he's going to respond. He gets it. I'm going right to the point of what matters to him, and I'll get the data I need.
Interesting. Craig, did that answer your question?
Yeah, no, I like that answer a lot. Yeah. Makes sense.
What are you, Craig?
I'm not sure. I think I might be at times all of them, but that's a good way to approach things, right? It depends on the people, and you reflect back to them in a way that maybe benefits both of you.
I think you're an energizer analyzer. Is that possible?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I keep looking at this very nice table in the care profile book, mm-hmm. and I think I'm relating more to most of the cooperator things.
Yeah, well, that's what I was wondering for both of you as a secondary cooperator, you know, because I don't know why.
Sincerity, loyalty, cooperation. Tell me how you feel. I like to. Can you explain the primary questions?
Yeah, so there's different things you want to know when you're kind of assessing somebody. So in the, you know, from the person, well, I'm going to go back to your first statement. Everybody has a primary style and a secondary style. So, and nobody is 100% anything. That's just the reality. Like everybody lives on a spectrum. And certain times you'll find certain situations you might you know, adjust what your style is depending. So I'm a hard-on cooperator, but if there's no regulator in the room, I'm going to move into my regulator to drive an agenda because it will drive me nuts that nothing's getting down.
Right.
You know, but in the questions piece, it's really like, how can you assess? What are the different things you can look at? You know, does somebody orient to thinking versus feeling? Are they orienting more to task completion? Are they, you know, what are the main primary things that you can assess, you know, do they speak quickly? Do they speak in bottom line bullet points? Do they give a lot of conversation around it? They're just quick ways you can assess. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of different personality styles out there. Why I like this one is just simple. You know, it was actually translated for the beauty industry. Dr. Bob created a whole thing so that a stylist could have somebody in their chair and quickly assess what their style is in order to be able to serve them best while they're cutting their hair.
That's great.
Yeah.
So with these different profiles, there's talk about what's the best job fit for your personality, and you said, of course, you guys are energizers, you're radio hosts. What are some quick, I guess, bullet point jobs that other personality types?
Sure. I'll say a little to that and also say, obviously, huge disclaimer. Like, you can have a great salesperson that's totally an analyzer. They just sell differently. But you will find, like, more of your CEO, high-level driving executives are going to be in the regulator space. People in IT and data analysis, I did a training of this for a company that was a whole data department. And it was the first time I did the training where two-thirds of the room were analyzers, you know? And then there were a couple others sprinkled in. You know, the cooperators, if you're in customer service, is a typical field because you like people, you want to get along, or HR are typical fields for them. So that, you know, they can fall differently, but, you know, kind of makes sense that your personality probably matches it. So
now that makes me think that I'm an energizer regulator because I could customer service. No chance. Like,
well, that could also be analyzer in your back. So analyzer and regulator, they're not so high on the feeling or the relationship size. So you could be, it could be either way.
Yeah, but I care, Barb. I've
well, I'm thinking about cooperators caring what other people think.
Yes.
And I hate getting yelled at, you know, in customer service.
You're definitely
situations.
Not a regulator. How about you, Mark? Do you care what other people think?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Yes, I do. But it depends on the circumstance. Like when I was the worst waiter ever at the Cheesecake Factory for 3 weeks, I mean,
oh my gosh,
I couldn't. Can I get some extra ranch? No, you cannot.
We still like you.
I didn't care. I couldn't care less what you thought of me. I was like, just get me out of here.
Right.
But now if it's a woman who I'm attracted to, now I care.
Right.
Which is. Did I just say that on the radio?
You did.
What does the care profile say about relationship compatibility, like romantic compatibility?
Well, so I will say you can be any style match with any style. The whole point of it is getting to know what your style is so you know what you're going to run into. And this perfect example for me and my husband now, but we were dating at the time, we did this workshop. And it was so eye-opening. Like, all these light bulbs popped for me because I'm a cooperator energizer, and he's a regulator analyzer. We're literally polar opposites on the entire system. And so all of a sudden, it made a whole lot of sense to me because the things I cared about, he didn't, and vice versa. So the way he would show love, as it were, to me, was he would get stuff done around the house. And that's how he showed love. I'm a cooperator. I want you to tell me you love me. You know, and so what I would do for him is I would be telling him all the time how much I love him, and then he'd be annoyed because I'm not getting tasks done, so he feels like I don't love him because that's how he shows love. So it was just this whole thing where all of a sudden I'm like, oh, this is it. We actually love each other. We just show it totally differently, you know, or all these cyclical fights we'd get in all the time. So from that perspective, it is the awareness. Now, the good thing is if you can pay attention to it, and I could understand he's not just being a jerk, and I'm not just, you know, lazy, then we could actually team really well. So now that we have these opposite styles, we're great at partnering. Like, if you're going to go on a vacation, we're going to take, you know, go somewhere. I'm going to look online. I'm going to look at VRBO.com and, like, imagine myself in these different spaces. How will I feel? You know, I'm doing the whole cooperator, energizer experience thing. He doesn't care. I narrow it down to, like, you know, 5 or 6 that are good with me. And he's like, we're booking this one. And then he gets it done. You know, so it's like beautiful if you can cover the whole thing. But if I was wanting him to love the experience I'm loving, he would just be so annoyed. And vice versa, when he's like, just book it, I would be annoyed too.
I am curious too, if say your one trait very high, like you're a cooperator or something like that, but you'd actually prefer to be something else. Is there a way that you can kind of train yourself to be more of a regulator, even if naturally you are something different? Is there any way to do that?
Completely. And it's totally practice. I mean, I think, and this is the cool thing about all the research they're finding out now about brain plasticity, is like, you're not stuck in anything. We so are raised thinking you're stuck the way you are. So, you know, I was raised and I was a shy kid. My husband was shy. I took my son as a baby to this, you know, Mommy and Me music class. And all of a sudden he's sitting on my lap, nodding and interacting with the kids. And I'm getting frustrated. And my boss says to me, "What, you expected to like pop out this child?" And he'd be like shaking hands and, you know, totally energizing, even though neither of you are. But yes, I kind of thought that. But the cool thing is we can work on it. And so that's the thing we talk about in our family, is like, no, we're always practicing. So I'm an introvert who's practicing being an extrovert. You know, it's like any style you can get into. You know, I'm the COO of my company right now. If you ever told me I would have been in that position with my cooperator personality style 15 years ago, I would have said you were absolutely nuts. But I've worked my muscle like crazy to the point where if my staff assessed me when they first met me right now, I don't think they'd ever guess what my personality style is.
And you're up in front of people all the time. And
yeah.
When you're up in front of people, you're really an energizer.
Yes, right.
You're trying to get people to engage, which we'll come back in 1 second here, talk about more what you do with the Right Foundation and some opportunities out there for you if you're looking to make a move in your life. 312-981-7200. It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Great to have Barb Burgess, the Chief Operating Officer of the Right Foundation, with us in studio. I'm Mark Carmen. You are Rachel Woodall.
Yes,
you are hopefully having a great holiday weekend. Barb, you're heading out of town, right?
I am.
Good for you. Where are you headed?
Wisconsin, Madison area, Sauk City.
That's amazing. And Rachel, what are you doing for your holiday 4th? Before we get back into this, I want to know.
My best friend has a parade every year, and every year the Crystal Lake Parade is exactly the same, but she lives on the parade route, so we go there and we eat too much food and watch the parade.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so Barb, you spent 20 years at the Chicago Mercantile Exchange?
No. I've been at the foundation for 15 years.
Okay.
Yeah, I was at the Merck before that.
How long were you at the Merck?
Just over a year.
Okay. Yeah. So what, for those who are just listening, have never heard of the Right Foundation, how would you describe it to people?
Well, we're a nonprofit, a 501c3, and our focus is really on helping people teach all those skills that we should have learned in school and we didn't. You know, the social-emotional intelligence is the sort of category that everybody calls it, but it's really, how do you bring out the best in yourselves? How do you have the best life you can have, whether it's professionally, personally, everything? So we look at it holistically, and we do that in a lot of different ways. We have a graduate university that's accredited, we have non-credit courses, and we take it into businesses too.
And you guys have, for those people who are just trying to perhaps make a move in their life, maybe understand themselves better, maybe change their career or work on their relationships, you guys have weekend trainings that are free and available. Is that correct?
Yep. We do a weekend training called the Foundations Weekend Training, and you can come check it out and see what the courses are like and get a little sample of that. And we also do coaching for somebody who isn't quite sure what the first step is to take, but they just want to talk to somebody. We have coaches at all different levels, too.
And how often are these foundation weekends?
5 times a year. Next one's in September.
Okay. And yeah. It's a whole weekend thing?
Whole weekend. Friday night, Saturday, Sunday.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Rachel, you going?
Maybe. It sounds awesome. You got to remind me. Like,
absolutely.
At the end of August.
Craig, you in?
Yeah, sounds great.
Do you know what we just asked you?
Yes, I do, and I'm going to this conference thingy.
Craig, I see a ton of fear in there, and perhaps some...
No, it sounds really lovely. I want to dive into me.
Roger, you want to dive into you and come to a foundations training?
I'll dive into anything.
There you go.
Amen.
There you go. There
you'll
be
the whole WGN crew in September.
That would be an incredibly cool experience for all of the WGN people that would sign up. How do people who actually do want to do it, how would they get there?
They go to foundationsweekendtraining.com, and all the information's right there.
All right. Very cool. Will the care profile be covered in the Foundations Weekend Training?
We do. In fact, you do a short assessment of yourself before you even start the training, so you can kind of know what your style is and the style of other people, and we talk about it throughout the weekend.
Interesting. And we were talking during the break, Rachel, we were asking you what your boyfriend was of his profile, and you were not exactly 100% certain.
I'm not sure, but I would like both of us to take it and see, and we can, like, you know, spruce up our communication styles.
Yeah.
What about the, if I may, before you go here, Barbara, I could like to talk to you until about 5 in the morning about this stuff, but for those of us who are in relation, right, and then there's a little rift, and the natural inkling is to either A, not talk about it, or B, not go all the way in there when talking about it. What is the, I don't know, how do you coach somebody like that
right.
to engage further so they will get more, let's put it, nourishment from their relationship. What would you say?
Well, I'll say just for example, that person would have been me, as we were sharing at the break, because my husband and I used to get in disagreements, and literally he would have to chase me around our condo, our apartment. And, you know, even to the point where one time I, you know, ran outside and hid next to the house. So I can relate to the person who might want to avoid hypothetically that conflict. But the cool thing is you work this muscle over time and you can practice. But we when we're teaching about it, we talk about something called approaching. You always want to kind of be leaning into situations, approaching the situation versus avoiding it. Because, you know, habitually we all want to avoid conflict, difficult situations, et cetera. But, you know, if you really want a relationship to work, that never is the formula, right? And as uncomfortable it is, you have to practice it. It's just like a muscle. Like we work out. In the gym, we got to work out hanging in there and working through stuff, and most of us aren't used to that.
What happens if you have two avoiders? That happens all the time.
It does happen all the time, yeah, because they get attracted to each other because it's safe, right? It feels safe and comfortable. For me and my husband, the thing we were most proud of that we used to brag like crazy is that we don't fight. And we thought that was like the best thing in our relationship, and it was the worst thing. So basically, one of us had to take the lead and start taking the initiative. And in certain areas, I took it, in certain areas, my husband took it, but we had to sort of name it and bring it to the table. Otherwise, yeah, you'll, you know, coast on for 30 years and then maybe get divorced.
Quick question. Did you hear Craig's story earlier about the girl who didn't let him break up with her?
Oh, no.
Oh, no, but I think we have to hear it again, don't we?
I think
well,
we do.
Just that,
I'm pretty sure she invited her parents to the dinner that I tried to break up with her the third time. I'm pretty sure she brought them herself.
This is a good one. One more time, please.
One more time.
So
okay.
I she was a coworker of mine when I worked at the Meijer, a grocery store, and I tried to break up with her one day, and she didn't seem to fully get it, and I tried to be really nice about it, like, I really like you, but it's just not a good time for me. The next day she came in, kissed me on the cheek, treated me like everything was fine. So we had lunch again during a break, and I broke up with her again, I thought. But again, it didn't take. So I decided to take her out to a restaurant and do it, like, for real, out in public in the real world. And I might have had a plan to be a little bit meaner. Her parents walk in right toward the start of it. They sit down. We're all sharing a meal. I just soldier through anyway and broke up with her pretty violently in front of said
with
parents.
With her folks.
Yeah, then I went to the restroom, regretted everything that had happened and didn't know what to do, so I climbed out a window and left the restaurant.
So you're both avoiders.
Yeah, so it's a double avoider. So, I mean, a couple thoughts about that. One is, if she was doing, seriously, if she was doing it intentionally, she might be more on the avoiding side, right?
I think she was.
You think she was doing it intentionally?
I think she's definitely
or otherwise,
on the avoiding side.
You might need to work on your communication and be more direct. Because three times of not getting it,
Craig.
I gotta wonder on that
it's,
one.
It's hard when somebody starts to get sad. You know, you want to say positive things, right? You want to
No. Okay. You gotta suck it up.
All right.
You gotta be straight.
Okay. Well, okay.
We still like you.
We still like you.
And we're gonna go to the news in a second, Roger. I apologize, but there's a lot of people out there that they end up staying in relationships forever.
Yes.
Because they won't say, they're too afraid to get out.
Right. And I mean, I think that's the case. You know, we're talking about this recently, but people look at the success of the relationship is about your number of years you've been together as if that's the main thing. But do you have a thriving, growing relationship? Can you kick the tires? If it's something you have to be so careful in or it falls apart, it's not much of a relationship. And
right.
I think that's the thing for all of us that I had to learn earlier on is you got to be willing to kick the tires. And yes, you have to be willing to lose somebody if that's the case. But if it's really going to last over time, I mean, life deals us a lot of stuff. And if it's going to be resilient, we got to be willing to do that and see what happens.
Kick the tires.
Kicking the tires is the best thing that can happen to a relationship.
Well, the whole point, they say engagement, right?
Experience.
Engagement, you're supposed to engage. And instead, people get engaged and they totally play it safe. They don't upset the apple cart because they're so afraid what's going to happen.
You got
to engage.
All right, Craig.
This is the news.
Craig's got more questions. You want to stay for one more segment?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll do one more segment. Roger.
Yo.
Sorry, Roger.
Hi.
1:33. We're 3 minutes late for you, but that doesn't mean we don't love you. +720 WGN. Hope you're having a great start to your 4th of July weekend. I'm Mark Carmen. She's Rachel Woodall. We got about 23 minutes to go here, and then it's
I know.
I always feel that way. And then it's Kevin Richter and Michael Heidemann making their debut. They're in for Matt Bubala, 2 a.m., which is an outstanding shift that I have worked many times and really enjoyed. Bob Burgess is in the studio, the chief operating officer for the Wright Foundation. Craig said that he's got a bunch more questions. If you want to jump in here, you feel free. 312-981-7200. We're talking a lot about relationships right now. So if you're having an issue with your husband, husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, and you want Barb's analysis, feel free, 312-981-7200. Or if you're interested in the care profile, that's out there for you too. Craig has a question. Craig Collins, who's...
we were talking a lot about conflict and about dealing with conflict and trying not to avoid it. And it kind of made me think a lot about the inverse kind of approach that people might take, or the inverse scenario where maybe someone is focusing too much on negative things. Is there a way that you kind of talk to someone or deal with that when maybe fights are happening all the time and they're not all necessary, or maybe there's, you know, a negative thing that doesn't seem to be going away when maybe there could have been a resolution at some point?
Well, yeah, that's an excellent question. I think the point about fighting is you have to learn how to fight well, right? Because at first, if you're not fighting, you have to practice fighting. But then a lot of times it's irresponsible fighting. So the question is, how do you get good at the skills so that you can work through a fight? If you're in fights that aren't getting resolved, that's not solid fighting and you need more practice. And again, I'll harken back to me and my husband. So when we first started fighting, it was like, I mean, for me, it was like I hadn't been fighting, and all of a sudden I was a bull seeing red. You know, it's just like I would be charging over him and whatever. And we had to practice in the middle of a fight, me saying, acknowledging he was right about something. So he'd say something in the middle of the fight that was totally right, like, well, you did this. And I would do that, yeah, but. You know, and we got coached that yeah, but wipes away anything you said before that. It just literally obliterates it. So I had to just stand there and go, yes, you are right. And I had to practice shutting up. You know, so that then he had a little space to say something. But that's something you practice in the relationship, right? At the beginning, you don't have that kind of skill. So if it literally is negative all the time and you're running around and around, that's not productive fighting. That's just being in drama.
I'm watching Craig behind you. He's just
nodding. I am understanding.
He's nodding and laughing. At the whole thing.
I can't see him. He's behind me.
Yeah. I am also curious if, do you find anybody that has this problem with maybe finishing someone else's sentences? I know a lot of conversations, a lot of emotional conversations, you need to express yourself and you don't want someone else to express what you're feeling. But if they express it correctly, do you ever find someone that really struggles with preventing themselves from saying what they think someone else is saying? Does this make sense as a question?
Yeah, well, you have two things going on there, so I'm just going to name that. So from a female and male perspective...
Got it. Okay, good.
Women tend to finish each other's sentences and we talk over each other, and it's actually a sign that we're bonding and it's something we do. For a man, and I'm not 100% here, but it's because you're on that masculine feminine ratio, but more for men, if you interrupt or finish a sentence, it's actually a sign of hostility and it's a threat. So it's something that, like, as women, we have to be conscious of when we're doing, because we're actually annoying you. And I had to watch this because I would do, you know, marketing calls on the phone. And if I was talking to a man and I wasn't face to face with them, all of a sudden I'd be interrupting him to show that I agree. And actually I'm showing the opposite by my interruption. So there's that male-female dynamic you have to pay attention to. And then there could be just a thing where somebody's really not giving you the space or listening to you. So there's two different things that could be going on there.
You just explained so much.
Yeah, I need it again, to be honest. I'll listen back on the podcast. So that's...
I didn't know that that was a gender thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's not 100%, but by and large, you'll notice that women, that's how we build rapport with each other. We're going to talk all over each other, and it's all good, and men don't.
Right. That's why I do that. And then I feel really guilty if I'm talking to someone who doesn't feel the same way.
Yes. And then they get annoyed and they give you that look, you know.
The only thing I heard there as I was looking there at the reactions of Craig and Rachel and managing the whole situation and not being present, that's what I was doing, was that if a male finishes the sentence for a woman, that's hostile gesture?
No, I'm just saying by and large, women would tend to do it more, right?
Men interpret it as hostility as opposed to bonding, and women seem to think of it as bonding.
Oh, okay. So if you finish my sentence, it's
hostile. If I was just about to do that, like I just did, I just interrupted you, and then you'd be really annoyed because I kept doing it.
Yeah, that's really hostile.
See, and if you saw him, you could see Mark getting angry, you know, frustrated.
But since we were agreeing, we like each other more now.
Right. We all bonded. Well, you were getting ticked off. There,
yeah,
Mark.
No, I'm feeling it. 312-981-7200, the number here at 720 WGN. So, okay.
We do have a quick text, and I'm not sure if this is a legitimate question or not, but you can try to field it from the 773. What if your boss is just in, you know, a...
Fill in the blank.
Yeah. What if your boss is just a really horrible person, is what they're saying. There's no redeeming qualities. There's no anything. How do you deal with someone that's just crappy?
Well, you have a couple sorts to do. So first of all, when we're coaching people, it's, have you really taken responsibility for the situation? So, you know, I'm always hesitant a little bit when somebody says, no, my boss is 100% crappy. Everybody has some percentage of crappiness, some of their style we don't like more than others. So the first place we go to is, have you done everything you can? If you have, then you've got a sort to do. Are you going to stay there and work it out? Are you going to do your best job and, you know, risk putting your job on the line? Or should you be going elsewhere? You know, but those are usually later conversations to have once you've really seen what you could do to take responsibility for. Because sometimes it is just a style issue. I was just teaching this workshop a couple weeks ago, and this woman who was so annoyed by her boss, but her boss is a polar opposite style that she is, and now she's like, okay, I can understand that he's not just a jerk, that's his style, right? So you have to sort it out. But if it is the case, then it's a bigger conversation. I'd have to know more details to know what to advise.
What's the standard thing that you see in couples counseling? Like people are, I would assume that they're coming for couples counseling. They're at the very last legs. They don't want to get divorced, but yet they don't know a way through. I mean, does that sound about right?
I mean, I think that's true for most couples. I think most couples think about, oh, let's go get help if there's a problem. You know, personally, we like working with people on the other end of it. So some of the people that have been the most successful with our coaching, they started when they got engaged. Because really, you want to learn these skills early on and not come when you've already given up, right? You want to sort of flip on the up. When you're on the upside of your relationship is when you kick the tires. You know, don't wait 25 years later in your empty nest and all of a sudden you're staring across at the other person going, we have nothing in common. But I think that is common, which is people wait until things are bad rather than learning the skills up front to do well in the relationships.
See, and I think a lot of young people, and I'm speaking from some form of experience here, that they look at it like, if I'm going to go get couples counseling before I get married, well, what's, and their parents are almost coming at them like, well, what's wrong with things? Why are you doing that?
Yeah, and I think it's one of the biggest mistakes and common misconceptions, because you think about it. I mean, you know, we spend all this time on this wedding. Like, this wedding is the whole thing. The wedding has nothing to do with getting married. My husband and I didn't really get married into years into our relationship, right? We did the event. Everybody showed up. But it was like we were roommates living in the same house. We had no clue how to be married. And I think that's the mistake, is like, you have to learn how to do that. How do you partner with somebody? We moved in. We shared everything. But it was irrelevant. It wasn't until we really learned to get engaged with each other, to dig into stuff, that we became a couple. And so, yes, people do look at it that way. And I wish it was the opposite.
Just in time for wedding season.
And for those of us who just got completely terrified by that,
well, and this
raise
loving,
your hand.
This loving text as well from the 630. Forget women. There's nothing. They're nothing but a headache. I'm marrying my job in 2016.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, what about me?
What about you, Roger?
40 years.
What did you do well, Roger? Tell us.
I have no clue.
You kicked all of the tires.
Yeah.
I think the tires kicked me.
Which is great. Yeah.
I didn't know. I don't know what the secret is. It's not been perfect. I don't think there's any perfect marriage. Anyone who says they never fight are lying.
Yep.
We're human beings. My goodness gracious, we have faults galore. Everyone in the world does.
Yep.
And when you get two faults together, it's going to be a earthquake from time to time.
Here's another question for you, Barb. I think a lot of men out there, unconsciously, they end up actually trying to date their mother.
Oh,
yikes!
I know. Is that?
We're digging in now, aren't we?
This is love
line. No, we just went Freud.
Am I right or am I wrong?
No, it's. I will say from. I'm just going to go back to my perspective, because somebody made this observation about me, and they were saying how, you know, my husband was more analytical as my dad was, and. He worked in the same actual kind of trade industry. And it was one of those things where I hadn't looked at that. So, yeah, unconsciously at a level, we're all trying to get needs met. And so unconsciously, we're still little kids trying to get these needs met by our parents that we didn't when we were little. So that happens in the dynamic. And you can either kind of pay attention to it, look how it plays out, or, you know, you kind of run around unconsciously.
And I should have said that on both sides, that the women are looking for their dad.
Yeah, same thing.
Rachel, I saw a bunch of reactions over there by you. I certainly saw smiles and thoughts and whatnot. Feel free to share.
Oh, you know, it's just interesting. It's just an interesting thing when I hear that.
Yes, it is.
I don't know. I don't have anything to say on the matter.
Okay.
So, but you know what I do want to say in regards to Roger's topic is, I was talking about my grandfather earlier, and just to bring him up one more time, because he was an amazing dude. He and my grandma were married for 61 years.
Wow.
And one of the things that they told me just kind of in passing was, I was visiting and it was morning and my grandpa was really sick, but my grandma came over and, you know, gave him a kiss. And she said, just make sure that you marry someone that you always want to kiss in the morning.
That's beautiful. I don't know if it's realistic, but it's beautiful.
I'm going to get all sad. But
don't tell my husband that, but okay. Yeah, no. But eventually.
All right.
Well, and I just want to say one other thing to the 40 years. I think one of the things that was a blessing in my relationship is that my husband and I both knew we were going to work on it. To your point, Roger, is like, whether you know you're going to kick the tires or not, life kicks you one way or another. And so if you have that mindset that the relationship is something you're going to work on and you're going to work through stuff, then that is helpful. If you think it's all going to be perfect and when you fall out of love, it's a problem, then you're never going to be in anything long term because we all fall out of love. The chemistry fades, all that other stuff, you know, does. And then you reinvigorate it. You choose to, you know, work on it so that it's more exciting. Man, I honestly can say I fall in love with my husband more and more every year. I mean, aww, that is just a fact, but it's because we work our butts off at it, you know, and I think that's part of the beauty of it.
That's well, so awesome.
I think you bring up a couple of things. One, love is an emotion. You work at a marriage. A marriage is a union. It's a thing. And the emotions can come from that relationship. The emotion of love comes from that interaction. And like you said, you love them more and more every year. Well, because you're working on that connection. You're working on that marriage. And the things that you do that you accomplish together help you love each other more.
Right. Absolutely. And I can hate him more than I hate anybody because we're so close, right?
Right.
I know all his buttons. He knows all my buttons. So that's part of the mixture. But as much as I can be honest about me hating him is as much as I can love him and get close to him. So, yeah, absolutely.
Barb, great stuff.
Yeah, thank you so
everybody
much.
Should
thank
go to
you.
foundationweekendtraining.com if you'd like to get some free coaching and just have a cool experience for a weekend, and that is available to you. When's the next one? September what?
September 10th to the 12th.
There you go. September 10th to the 12th, right there for you. Rachel and I will be there to coach you through it.
I actually do want to go.
Great. So. Love to have you.
All right. Sweet. Barb, have a great 4th, and thanks for coming
thank
in.
You. Yeah, thank you. Same to both you. Of you.
It's Barb Burgess, Chief Operating Officer of the Wright Foundation, WrightLiving.com. Check it out. And this is 720 WGN. It's last call time. Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez. I'm Mark Carmen. You're Rachel Woodall. We are sitting in. That Foundation's weekend training is September 16th to the 18th, by the way, not the 10th to the 12th, just for anybody who's really paying attention to the show, which congratulations if you are. We're doing our last call tonight with Amy Guth.
Oh, boy, I'm nervous.
Oh, no, there's an echo.
Oh, no.
I think this will go away once it connects. Echo.
Do you think she's going to answer?
I hope not.
She never answers when I call.
How often do you call, Mark?
Often.
Okay.
You've reached Amy Guth. I'm not available to take your call right now, but please leave a message and I will be back in touch with you as soon as possible. Thanks.
At the tone, please record your message.
We do a little roll call at the beginning of this, too.
You may hang up. Everyone just or press one
like
for more
says who they are.
Okay. Hey, Amy, it's Mark Carmen. I'm sitting in for Patty Vasquez tonight. Who else is here?
Hey, it's Rachel Woodall, your favorite producer.
Who else is here?
Greg Collins is sitting right here.
And who else is here?
And it's Roger Padish, of course.
Hey, Amy, we really thought that you were going to pick up tonight because, you know, you're always doing something cool at all times of the day. We don't really believe that you sleep.
That is very true. I do wonder how you are ever awake by the time we get to our show.
And we hear rumors that you're in New York City. Is that Rachel? Do you know that because you work so closely with Amy?
I thought she was in New York or something this week. I honestly don't know where she is tonight. She could be on the moon and she'd be back for the show tomorrow.
Okay, so she okay. Well, and then so I'll see you after the sports show tomorrow. And Amy, I just want to say that you know, you're doing a great job. And
your producer's really cool.
Yes.
Yeah, speaking of that, we've done a show this evening, and Rachel hosted the entire evening for the first time on WGN Radio. It was great. You even booked one of our guests. That they were super funny.
I did.
And who were they?
We Still Like You.
Yeah, We Still Like You. They
Dan
do a
Jesse.
Live show where people say horrible, embarrassing things, and apparently everyone still likes them at the end.
Yeah, we and that segment went a lot longer than we originally thought, Amy, because it was so fun. And Barb Burgess was here from the Wright Foundation, the Chief Operating mm-hmm. Officer, talked a lot about relationships and fighting and how it's good. And I know that you can relate to all of that.
And how to make us better people.
Right, right.
And nice. Mark thinks that Facebook is only about sex and dating, so... Well, that's an argument.
Amy, that's not
that
exactly what I
said. That's
apparently,
exactly
yeah,
what he said.
That's all Facebook is good for.
Verbatim. And he right. hates fireworks.
No,
a little bit of sex.
I just said that Facebook took off because they put relationship status on there and people realized that if they got on Facebook that positive things could happen to them in their dating lives.
Okay, so I was thinking tomorrow to the show because we're on after Mark, I was thinking we bring in some fireworks because he really loves when people
I'll
do
set them
their
off.
Own fireworks. Craig's going to set them off because he is a pyromaniac.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, Amy, I started off the show reading off the terrible injuries that have happened from fireworks and lamenting the fact that I'm not going to be able to sleep this weekend because everybody's going to be setting off fireworks. And I just think that's an inappropriate choice by this city and many other cities. And I am steadfast in my belief that I'm correct about this. And I know that you agree with me.
Isn't
you know,
he festive?
He's very. You know what's also interesting is as the phone was ringing, Mark also complained that he calls very often and Amy never answers. I am curious what Amy wants to say about that. Maybe we'll hear from her at some point.
She always answers when I call.
Well, I was being slightly hyperbolic on that, but I have called Amy probably 5 times and she's never picked up.
Got for it. Social calls or?
Do you still leave a voicemail when you call somebody? Are you still a voicemail guy?
I occasionally leave a voicemail, sure. I think that's a 50-50.
Okay.
And well, no.
Do you do a follow-up text if you don't leave a voicemail?
I do.
Yeah. Do you feel like that's too many contacts or it's okay because you didn't leave the voicemail?
If you don't leave a voicemail, you can leave a text. If you leave a voicemail and then you text and say, oh, hey, I just left you a voicemail, that's a little stage 5 clinger.
That's true.
That is true. What does the text say? Does it say, sorry, I missed you, but this is what I was looking for?
It would say, hey, I just left you a voicemail.
Hey, I left you a voicemail. This is what I need to know. And you know, Amy and I have done a couple of shows together, so that was one reason why I called. And she was offering to help me with my website, which needs help. And I haven't followed up on that, Amy. I apologize. And I really appreciate the fact that you were available to me for the help.
What's going on with your website?
Not a whole lot. I got to work on it. MarkCarman.com is under construction.
Do you have a big face? Is your face like clickable? You should be able to click your face, like click the eye.
Yeah.
That goes to one spot. Click the nose, goes somewhere else.
I have some adorable pics on there.
Okay.
So there's that.
All right.
But I need to do some other things. But
you could probably get the lady that manages people's Facebooks from jail.
Oh, yeah, get her.
On your website.
Get her.
That's a good idea. What's her name again? I actually have it right in front of me. Her name is Completely Lunatic, or Complete Lunatic. That would be more what I was trying
to say. I actually think it's...
Her name's Renee.
Renee
Royster. Renee Royster. She lives in Perrysburg, Ohio. And right now, she's probably having a conversation with somebody.
You have reached the maximum time permitted.
Oh, no!
Recording your message.
Darn it!
Bye, Amy. That was Amy
Goode. She couldn't hear that, but...
Who came up with that segment, Craig? I love that
Patty
segment.
And I both did.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good job. Mm-hmm. I really like it.
Geniuses.
I don't like the fact that you don't... You guys should call me more. You only called once.
We've left
you
a voicemail.
Yeah, will you call me?
Yeah, we've never called Rachel. We got to do that at least.
You do.
Well, we're calling legislators now because they for a while hadn't passed a budget, but now that that's kind of over, I don't know who we're going
to
call.
No, that seems more important. You should continue to call them. That's a very good choice.
A temporary one. All right,
yes.
Fine.
So very exciting coming up tonight. Kevin Richter, Michael Heidemann, who... do a great podcast, and they will be here tonight for Matt Bubala, so that is in a matter of moments. Rachel, in the 2 minutes that we have left here, your thoughts about how it feels to officially be a WGN radio host.
It feels unbelievable. Everything I've worked for the past almost 3 years, finally coming to fruition. One of my friends took a screenshot of us on the internet and posted it on Facebook, so that was kind of great, but I'm very thankful to everyone, Steph, Todd, Kristen Decker, Steve Cochran. No, I don't want to start listing people because I'm going to forget people.
Well, but... you already did, so.
Yeah, I know.
It's okay. and 10 years from now, where are you going to be? Where will Rachel Woodall be in her career?
Oh, that's a really intense question.
It is, isn't it?
She will be 36.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, hopefully hosting, still doing a podcast. Love in life, hopefully married, kicking some tires. I don't know.
That's a beautiful vision right there. I love that vision. I will not be stepping into my own vision right now because that's a little bit too confronting. So do we have another break here, Craig, or are we all good? I'm a little confused. We're all good? All right.